Members, good morning to everybody. There is an Apollo. Some of us, we came very early here. The breakfast is not yet with us. They are saying that they are still having some problems. So they will tell us when the breakfast arrived. Honorable members, we have agenda in front of us. From the very onset, UDG is with us and the entourage from the department. But there is a committee meeting with the executive. When the minister is ready to get there, he will call and will be leaving us. I'm appealing that in front of us there is an agenda. I'm suggesting that we must not start with the... Honourable members, why are you laughing? What have I done wrong? Umana and you?
Your relationship
is not in here. May I say that adopt the agenda with the taking the minutes to be number 3.5 in order that let's give UDG the briefing and then the rest, when maybe he's going to leave us, there will be to some of us it was a hard weekend. I'm hoping that to everybody who's a member of parliament, weekends we are not with our families, we are all over. Let's keep it up. That's why we are paid by parliament, that during weekends we must do oversight for each department and for our political parties. With those words, welcome DG and the rest of your colleagues that we know very well. Anyone who's adopting this agenda, amend it. Honorable Bergman, the seconder. Honorable Mamsom, now Umanana is afraid of supporting Honorable Bergman because he doesn't want to confront something. Honorable Fridan? Okay. Thank you so much, DG. That's your time now. Take us home. Thank you.
Would cut to the transformation and the different group on transformation. So let me have some food.
Let me ask them to indicate that we went to the Sport and Recreation in Daba in 2011 November, and part of what we wanted to do was to review the entire sports landscape of South Africa then, and to also refocus our efforts on the key important things that needed to be done in South Africa to get our sports right and correct, and to also address the previous imbalances. As you may know, the Sport and Recreation Plan was then adopted there, but of key importance is that under the transversal issues affecting the whole plan was the issue of transformation in sport. And subsequent to this, Chair and Honourable Members, you would also know that the transformation charter, as well as its accompanying scorecards, were then infused into the Sports and Recreation Plan and were adopted as part of the Sport and Recreation Plan. I have to say that we had followed a widely consultative process in finalizing this plan, and we had had in excess of 5,000 written inputs to the plan from the non-provincial Indabas to the sectoral Indabas that we held, as well as the national Indaba itself. And we felt that we had a true representation of the entire sports sector from all stakeholders, whether business or otherwise, but most importantly, the sport body themselves. And to this extent, the transformation charter, we've entered the time frame for beginning of its implementation. In order to facilitate the implementation of the charter itself, we had to undergo several processes. One of them was to amend the grant funding for sport bodies regulations, and to also infuse a new framework that would be utilized going forward. The idea really was simple. It was the idea of saying money should follow the function and money should follow the purpose, and we need to reward good behavior and punish behavior that is not in line with the sport and recreation plan. So subsequent to this, the idea was to link the funding to transformation outcomes and objectives. And so the grant framework seeks to help us achieve exactly that. And since this amendment, we had the sport and recreation bodies sign up to the new grant framework. I can proudly indicate that of the recognized 84 sport bodies, it's only two that still remain not having signed. And the rest of the 82 have signed. And I think the challenge with the others is one power boating that they are under administration now, and they are having challenges in respect to responding to this grant framework. And lastly, it is FASA PD, which is the Association for Parents with Disabilities in Sport. They are in a process of merging. They had been two bodies that one historically was representing whites and one representing blacks. And when we insisted on a merger between the two, they did an artificial merger. They still went their separate ways and elected executive committees, and they nominated two people from this committee and two people from this committee and formed a superstructure with no base. But for all practical purposes, this superstructure was only created so it can receive money. So they then collect the money, and then they split the money and they go their separate ways. They meet again at the so-called AGM too. So because of that artificial arrangement, we have had to say to them that they need to regularize their structure first and match completely at all levels, and including lower levels, so that we then can have a seamless body that looks after the interest of all parents with disabilities in sport, irrespective of this. And we also want them to reposition themselves as a confederation, because within this, there are many other smaller bodies that also look at disability in sport, and they need to be a coordinating sub-umbrella body within the confines of SASCOG, and SASCOG agreed with us. So those are the only two cases of federations that have not yet signed up to the new system. But the rest of them have voluntarily signed up. And I think this is important, because the picture being created is one of government coercing sport bodies to transform, and which is not the case, because we all voluntarily contributed towards the writing of the charter and the scorecard, and they all participated in all consultative forums and agreed to this, and they have now voluntarily signed up to the new framework. So there has not been coercion as yet. Government has not yet had to wield any stick to anybody. There's been cooperation right through, and we have moved from that premise up until now. So allow me to then take you into the charter itself, and eventually to indicate what we have been able to achieve with it. The importance in respect of the charter is that the charter seeks to change the mindset. For 18 solid years, we have pursued the transformation agenda based on moral grounds. We have moved from a premise that says it is a right thing to do, to transform, and that society needs representative teams and demographically representative teams. Mm-hmm. However, this argument has therefore historically been rooted around the issue of saying, because it is the right thing to do, we only need to look and count how many black faces are there on the field, which we are of the opinion that such a methodology is really counterproductive. Because it isn't useful also to have a sport body that correctly fills demographically represented teams, but those teams can't win, those teams are not professional, those administration of the sport is not regular. Access to the sport is a bit of a challenge and every other thing. And a good case in point might be football. So it isn't also useful to have that scenario. We have to look at the totality of the picture of the sporting body and of the coach for us to say, is it transforming or is it not transforming? And therefore we have widened the scope significantly with this chart. We have added six dimensions. So we have six dimensions, and we move now from a so-called multi-dimensionary approach. And in this approach, you would note that we are of the opinion that the biggest challenge facing South African sports isn't money, as many people argue that it is. We disagree with that approach. And the reason we're saying so is that, yes, there is not a stand enough. I think that acknowledgement must be made. But the starting point is to do much more with what we have before we can actually ask for more money. Because also getting more money and you can't spend it, all of it, it isn't that useful. So for us, and from that point of view, we are now of the opinion that the six dimensions help us greatly in as far as widening the scope of the assessment that we have to make. So we did then, based on this chair, and I'll come to the six dimensions quickly now, but what we did is that we then undertook to do a pilot study. The minister contacted an eminent persons group on transformation in sport, the so-called the Transformation Commission, or shortened they call it the EPG. Its name, I think, is long. We just call it by a fancy name, but it's actually a Transformation Commission. And this Transformation Commission, its job is really to advise the minister in as far as the implementation of the scorecard and the charter is concerned. And most importantly, their tool is the scorecard, a scientific tool to be able to assess all codes equitably and fairly in this context. Allow me, therefore, Chair, to immediately move with speech to indicate that this committee, when the minister appointed it, minister had sought to have a wide range of people with different backgrounds who would contribute significantly to the transformation agenda. The committee is chaired by Dr. Soma Dodafikeni and has Ms. Ria Ledwaba as the vice chairperson. And it has a whole host of people, academics like Professor Marion Kimbis and Professor Tim Noakes. But you also have sports administrators, in people like Ms. Vimpi Duplessis, Dr. Vili Basson. And you also have people from government, and you also have people from the private sector, Mr. Louis van Zer of APSA, Ms. Nomfanlo Magwenju, and Dr. Sam Amseni, Dr. Torello Manu, Tony Sanguena, and Mr. Maxwell Moss, so as well as Mr. Fela Sintanunu. So as you may be aware, we did a run on the five major priority codes, the so-called the Big Five: football, rugby, netball, cricket, and athletics. And our fears that the biggest challenge facing South African sport is access was confirmed via this specific pilot study. Here, the pilot study's objective was twofold. First and foremost was to check whether indeed it's possible to apply the transformation charter in South African sport. Secondly, was to also look at the possibility of us being able to use the scorecard effectively and to be able to check whether the guidelines and the questionnaires we were issuing were useful. And since then, we are now of the opinion that the scorecard has been, with a little bit of tweaking, has been able to be customized across all federations. We also learned essential lessons from the pilot that on some key things, particularly team codes, as well as sports that largely are individually played, we have to vary and vary the approach in terms of assessments. And so therefore we have been able to distribute this failure. And we also looked at the nature of the sporting codes and learned that in other instances we have to drill down to actually the provincial unions of codes to also have a provincial questionnaire that agency. So we have finalized this barometer, and it has given us a whole host of things to look at and to understand. But let me now indicate to you that our approach is very different. Our approach is that it is now no longer just about it being moral correct to transform. It is actually a strategic issue. It is an issue of importance, because if we fail to transform now, we would not be able in the next 20 years to have competitive teams. And the reason we're saying this is that we're selecting from a narrow talent pool. And to this extent, we discovered that 84% of under 18-year-old South Africans are actually black Africans, and while only 16% of under 18s is either white, and this is declining in size, or colored or Indian, and that population group is shrinking and is not increasing. And so only investing in these population groups will mean that we will in future select from a very narrow talent pool, and we are then looking out a potentially huge talent base that should be included in it. And so we are of the picture that we can no longer afford to reflect black African demography as only 12% of participation in competition. It has to be the reverse. Actually, we must strive towards the region of 84% of black participation if we are to succeed. And we therefore have done this and have looked at what federations have been able to achieve. It was heartening to see that in codes like cricket, cricket had managed to achieve 50% quota target that was set in 1994, as what was agreed with the sport bodies that they would. And since then, cricket has managed significantly to field the so-called generic black scorecard, meaning both Indian colors and Africans together in the pool. However, the big difference we have found is that when you change the scorecard and you look specifically at African black, black African, then you see that the red lights are showing all over, which means that the quota system has worked very well for colors as well as Indians in South Africa from a participation point of view and from demographic representation. But when you take it to the other parts, to look specifically at African participation, you see that that scope has been narrowed. There is a whole host of reasons we have looked at in respect of this, but we have now moved from a picture that says that it is time to revise the target of generic black from simply 50% to 60%, because we have to strive towards an 84 or 85% target in due course. And it was this when we asked whether was any time that we revised this, having reached the 50% target in other codes, including netball, in the space of 18 years. Shouldn't we then look at a higher target of 60 that got many organizations, or a few organizations rather, worked up? Then Solidarity, Freedom Front Plus, and who else? AfriForum. Then decided that they were going to take us to court. They argued that the transformation agenda was racism in reverse, and it was reverse discrimination. But we argued that the Constitution allows for positive discrimination where such discrimination seeks to bring about reverse and to bring about and address the past imbalances. And subsequent to that, they had placed reliance on the case of SAPS, of where the issue of the promotion within SAPS on ranks. And once that case was thrown out of the Constitutional Court, they have now changed course. Now they are arguing that they're intending to take us to the Court of Arbitration of Sport in Switzerland to oppose the transformation agenda. And they now say that they will not only take the department to that court, but they would seek to take also the rugby bodies. It means I have to leave. I will leave Dr. Van der Spree to continue.
Honourable members, that time comes that the minister called the UDG. So, who's supposed to take off?
Don't
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the honourable members will understand that I will speak much more to the content of the presentation. So I think the members also do have topic of the presentation, and I think the DG dealt with the issues until slide 16, where he made reference to, I think, the very important factor that 84% of the under 18-year-old South Africans are black, and he went into that. And also referred to some of the national sports federations. Then the junior and senior school sport complicated by a disconnect between the provincial federation and schools and the unresolved situation between the Department of Sports and Recreation and the Department of Education are still an issue. And as you know, we had that joint session with the Portfolio Committee on Education. And that is going to be an ongoing process on our side to make sure that we pursue the school sport issue. Then the issue of our facilities will always remain a very critical component when it comes to the transformation charter. Because if the necessary facilities are not there, it's very difficult to get the people to play. And therefore the issue of the mid-granting, the mid-grant that we would like to come to our department, is very important also for the transformation agenda. Participation opportunities for girls in rugby, football and cricket are still very limited. And that is another area of the transformation charter that we also need to make sure that we address the gender issue. It's not only the black and white issue, but if you look at the transformation charter, it addresses the whole issue of transformation in a holistic way, and one of the areas there is also the issue of women participation. The DG did refer to the netball situation at the school level. So overall governance performance in key selected areas generally below standard in most codes, and that was also mentioned by the DG. Finalization of the sport facility provision and implementation plan remains a major constraint. Suboptimal aligning coordination and synchronization within the national and provincial sports structures at the national and provincial sport federation level is also still going on. In that regard, there's also now currently a huge focus on the whole, what we call the academy system, to make sure that that system will contribute to the transformation agenda. The DG did refer to the target that we should increase the black demographic target from 50% to 60% in certain codes, and to include black Africans alongside generic black representation, a major focus area that needs to be monitored. Then consider the establishing of a detailed overall transformation change program position in a more strategic area of the department, and also to establish a strategic transformation fund within the department to fund defined objectives in key areas to facilitate the rate of transformation. Because in many of these issues to enhance the transformation progress, you do need also financial support, and we need to see how can we make sure that we can secure more funding also for that process. There will also be another process where we're going to re-look the charter after now 2 years after it was adapted. No, this is something else. Okay. Sorry, Jay. We nearly caused it. Okay. With regards to the funding, Chair, we also are in the plan that we need to engage the Lotto and the Sports Trust to see how can we secure additional fundings for the Transformation Charter, and then to select the additional 11 codes that will be monitored. Thank you. If we put it like this. And then we also need to use the transformation data sheets and the outcomes of that as an additional tool to prioritize the sporting coast. And that, I think, is a very important issue because the prioritization is also impacting on the funding of the different federations. So if they're going to be not receiving good scores, according to the transformation chart, it means that it's going to impact very heavily on their allocations as well. Ensure improved school and club related data on clearly defined areas of jurisdiction down to the provincial and the municipality level. In other words, hand in hand with this monitoring of the federations at the national level, we also need to see that we can filter it down to the provincial and municipal levels. Then another issue, Chairperson, is to engage RACPI with respect to the Springbok team's demographic profile and undertakings to address it on the basis of timeline collective initiatives. To revisit the targets for women's RACPI and cricket at the representative level and create a larger footprint for girls at school and club level, and that once again link also to the whole gender issue. Then to link the department's financial support program to quality of data sheets and the percentage of transformation target achievement. See, the first part, the quality of the data sheets, it, unfortunately, much of the information that we do receive from the federations are not verified, and we need to see how can we also assist the federations that we can have the correct data. Because we can only take certain actions and implement steps if we are sure that the information we receive is correct. Then the data of the 12 codes have been collected and captured in a database, and it is in the process now of being analyzed. The process is deepening understanding of the transformation challenges and facilitating better integrated and to ensure that it is also much more focused. Challenges identified in the pilot have been reconfirmed in the bigger sample, and new ones identified include the following areas. The impact of what appears to be suboptimal, coordinated, and aligned government and sports federation structures. So, Chair, that process is still ongoing. I know that they're busy working through all the data sheets received from those additional 14 federations. They are busy evaluating it. And I'm sure once that report is finalized, it will also be presented to this committee. Thank you, Chair. That is the presentation on the transformation progress.
Thank you, Doctor. You, Member, you want that you must present everything. I was trying to check whether you don't want immediate to fire questions in this 3.1 presentation.
Sure. My suggestion is that we go one by one because we're gonna, you know, we can use out the impetus of what we discussed and if we put them all together. With that in mind, if I can just say seven quick points.
A moment, Ms. Honor
Romanella. I wanted to differ a little bit with because we are noting down everything immediately, maybe he's touching on the sports transformation progress. We're noting some of the issues that you was going to raise question on it. When we raise question, you're going to maybe write down that on this presentation of sports transformation, I've got this question. Then if it comes to the other documents, you're going to raise accordingly.
Honorable members, there are two views.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'd like to support Honourable Malana because of time. If we, thank you. Yeah, if we do it one by one, then we tend to take more time. So if we could just finish it and then ask questions. Thank you.
Honourable Futan.
For that, more than anything else, now I am fully concerned about time management. But I think the biggest challenge currently in sports is transformation. Everything has flown from there.
Don't
the
make too
quantity
vague.
And quantity.
Don't make too vague. Put your view. What are you saying?
Okay.
You're supporting the first.
Thank you.
So now, Malak.
I didn't understand.
I was just trying to contact both of you. But yeah, now that you're putting on the spot, I think given the amount of time that we have the transformation, it is made for easy of flow if we can
deal with the transformation part first and then descend into other topics, but I think, you know, this requires more time and, you know, just for concentration purposes.
I'm suspecting that I did have that feeling of that when they are presenting transformation charter and eminent persons report, we need to take it alone. With due respect, honorable members, let's take it there. The popular view.
Thanks, Chair.
Yes,
Chair, with regards to the transformation charter, and I've said it before, I think we're looking in the wrong places. You know, we have to see that the transformation failure is actually a service delivery failure and not necessarily a specific problem from federations themselves. I've said it when the joint meeting between education and sports. We need to have the schools ensuring that there is sports, ensuring that the participation in sports is increased. We, as sports and recreation, need to ensure that the coaches, there are enough coaches and they have coaches of quality that can assist. And with that two-pronged attack on local level, ensuring that their facilities on a local level, we can ensure that transformation takes place. I don't think with Gymnastics South Africa, and it's understood that them and cricket have got the highest, as per the report, the highest transformation scoring. Their secret is not to look on both sides, it's not to look at the premier team and to look at the bottom, at the school team. Their secret is to focus on one side of the spectrum. So you either focus on what's happening on the premier side, or you focus on what's happening on the beginning side, the schools, the clubs, or the universities. They've made a conscious decision to focus on the bottom first. To make everything right on the bottom, to fix everything on the bottom. And through that, naturally, the end goal will be achieved. In terms of what this report also refers to, I think the focus is wrong. You can't?
Excuse me, you know, today was just in trouble. They've reported that the aircon is not working.
Yes,
but I'm worried about the noise now that is coming. Pumps are trying to assist to open the door, but you hear a noise that can detect us. I don't think it will assist us to open the door. But do you hear the noise of people are working? Carry on, honorable.
Sure, you say I'm saying that people working, they're not working. I'm not saying it. No, I've lost my point. on the spectrum, what we need to also look at is, in this report, the players seem to be alright. We seem to be scoring orange and green when it comes to players. When it comes to coaching and refereeing, we're seeing red. Now this is a problem. I mean, we can't have, and there's also when you've got, with our sportsmen, especially in boxing, when they leave the Grand Arena, there's nothing afterwards. There's no career afterwards. You have a lovely opportunity to get people back into coaching, into refereeing, into still being part of the game and still giving input. What I'm really sad to see is the lack of participation in the transformation group from the federations. You're only as good as what information you give it. So if the federations give you a half-baked, wishy-washy report back about the sample, that's as good as what your input is. And we're seeing that certain federations have, I would say, disrespected, to use a nice word, this committee, the transformation committee, by giving half-baked data. But here's a real innovative way of looking at things. Representation should not be based on the nation. Representation should be based on the people interested in the sport. So, if you look at soccer, if soccer has got a 98% black participation and only a 2% white participation. It doesn't mean now that we have to now fire four black soccer players so that we can have four more white soccer players. Because you're taking the interest of the nation, you're taking the interest of the soccer watching nation and making the representation through reflection. Cricket South Africa does that naturally now. They're looking at how many cricket watching people the nation are watching, and the representation is then based on that. The payoff now then is for that federation to try and increase the interest in that sport and the representation to reflect more reliably on that. And I would like to commend both Gymnastics South Africa and Cricket South Africa for seeming to achieve their targets in a natural on a natural basis. And we look forward to seeing all the other federations coming through on a natural basis that doesn't stifle competition. It actually increases both competitiveness and the interest of the nation to watch and support such events.
Thank you. Honourable members, I want when you are contributing, telling us what is your understanding about transformation, what does that mean whilst you are contributing. Let me know to the hands, Honourable Rajhomo, Manana, Honourable Fultan, Honourable Malasi, Honourable Muteke, on that order.
Well, I was coming. You know, what I'm thinking is really dangerous because we end up not understanding what happened. You see, in terms of apartheid, it was even doing social engineering so that it must suit what they want. So sometimes even our contributions now are based on that social engineering that was done by apartheid. You know, apartheid affected every facet of life. Even our thinking ended up not being proper. And that is why I said that I must come in. And it is important that we must not lose it, that we are here because of that leader of our party, and we need to correct that. It is a serious shortcut to can say no, we must be service delivered. It's not service delivered, it is because the challenge of correcting the wrong of social engineering are a big challenge. A very, very big challenge. So my take really is that the approach by the department is the correct one, because the approach by the department says, let's try to achieve more with the little that we have in terms of transformation. In other words, we need to say, how do we ensure that the talented youth, wherever they are, they must begin benefiting from the schools that have been exclusive, engineered to exclusively benefit the particular groups in the country. And those schools have got all the resources that you can call. And those schools, even now, with the creation of people's organs, those schools even now, those people, because of the result of social engineering, those people often, sometimes they lose it. They end up excluding disadvantaged, talented youth to participate in those schools by virtue of saying, no, you can't have and participate in the school. So my case really that we need to support the approach by the department that the we can't start by saying we are not delivering in terms of dealing with infrastructure. The second thing that we need to push is that the federations themselves, when they met in 2012, they agreed on the scorecards, but and the results of social engineering
agree, you will see that for rugby, for cricket, it's only kind of Indians then. Africans, we can't say they don't like cricket and rugby, but it is because of that social engineering that was done long time ago. You know, at one point, Chairperson, soccer, rugby, and cricket were regional sports. They were played in high schools. More predominantly, they were played. Because it became clear that the Africans appear to be a little bit dominant, then they killed. It killed, the social engineering, it killed. It killed in all the schools, all the white schools, and concentrated on cricket and rugby, and all other sports because of the facilities. It was not by accident. So we need to support the approach by the department, because the approach by the department raises key important points, and those key important points is that it must not be emotional or the right thing to do. It must be a strategic intervention, and that strategic intervention is that if we are to be competitive for the next 6 years, you can't just not ensure that you develop the majority of people in this country. And it can't be correct that we must say, as the board committee, that is not a correct thing to do. It's a correct thing to do, members. It's a correct thing to do. We need to ensure that we reverse that social engineering that was done, which was deliberate, and correct it and ensure that we begin developing. But we can't start by saying, let's get all the resources. Where are we going to get all the resources that want to be there? We are in the correct path, Chairperson, because we are raising key important things. We are seeing it is important that the plan adopted by all federations must be supported fully. But we can't end up closing our eyes to the fact that there are other competing key issues that need to be addressed. We can't close our eyes to them. We can. And then secondly, if the federations are performing, we need to support them, but persuade them to begin. Do we want to say it's an anomaly that was not attended to? Because Africans, in terms of rugby and cricket, is zero. And I'm not saying soccer therefore is perfect. It's not perfect. We need to correct this anomaly that was created by apartheid, that the soccer is not loved by white. It is not the truth. It's social engineering, because you go to all the white areas, they like playing soccer. It is because those schools are not using soccer because of that social engineering that was done. So my approach really, I think the department has it correct, and we need to support that. But at the same time, as the committee, let's ensure that we don't keep quiet in terms of ensuring that the resources needs to be increased over time. And then school sport, we need to ensure that the school sport happens. But we can't say let's do that first. We need to ensure that we unblock the blockages that are created by some of the school governing bodies. Thank you,
Chair. I suspected that this discussion on transformation is going to be like this, and I've loved that everyone. That's why when I've listened to Honorable Bergman, that I will love that each and every member of this committee, they must tell us what are their in understanding about transformation. So that's why I'm just opening it, in order that we must share the understanding of each transformation. What does that mean to us all? And seemingly, we can take the whole day, but I'll just be patient, because this is a very important presentation, and that's why I've given Honorable Bergman a lot of time, and now Honorable Adekom, anyone who's contributing, they must tell us and reflect on the presentation. But the key thing to me, are we all understand when we're saying that we want transformation, what does that mean to us? Honorable Manana.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think the transformation we're talking about here, Chairperson, we are not expecting to see it in black and white. You want to see it happening in those targeted areas that you always talk about here, especially the rural areas. And this is our song for this committee, that when we talk about the transformation, we talk about the rural areas. We know not that we have to cancel the even areas, because during those days, the even areas were benefiting more than the rural areas in sports facilities. So the 84% Black African, we want to see that in it must be happening in those rural areas. Not always when you talk about the transformation, we see the percentage, but we don't see anything implemented. This approach of transformation that will ask you to build an accessible and sustainable sports system. Hope the EPG, if maybe he's going to do the monitoring and evaluate the implementation of the charter. Although, Chairperson, we are looking forward on the EPG that will really they're going to assist on this. But not that I'm not happy about the members. I don't see the gender equality, the women. I can see they are more than 10, but it's only two females there, or three females, if I'm not mistaken. The gender is not balanced on those members. Thanks.
The Honorable Fulton.
Thanks, sir. Can I start by once more bemoaning the fact that neither the minister nor his deputy are here. Not that I think this committee would have been the most important appointment for them at this time of the year. I assume that the reason they are not here is because they have got some other important business. But on a day on which we're going to discuss transformation, especially after the minister has appointed, you know, the eminent persons and were receiving that report and recommendations, I would have thought that perhaps we should have rescheduled the time of the meeting so that one of them is here. Because we're here as politicians, and we're talking to administration. First, that even the DG has had to be pulled out of the meeting. I would like to base that on record. I know that last time I was here, I bemoaned the fact that we didn't have any political representation for the department. I don't know if this is becoming a trend. And if it is, I want to appeal to you, Chair, to indicate to the political head of the department that we are not happy about the fact that they continue to absent themselves, especially on the social days. Let me proceed now and go to the content of the message. You want us to indicate what our understanding of transformation is, and this is exactly what I would have loved to say to the minister or his deputy. My understanding of transformation is that it is an environment. It's the creation of an environment wherein the demographics of the country would be reflected in a competitive teams of the country. That's what I understand about. I'm not going to be, you know, to stick heads and talk about rural, urban, and so on, because there's a big debate going on as to whether today we see more poverty in urban areas and townships than we see in the rural areas. There's a big, I've gone past the stage of comparing rural, you know, with urban, because there is that big debate at the moment. So that's my understanding of transformation. The teams must keep the competitive, but the demographics must be reflected. That's what I understand. And that is a big challenge that South Africa is facing at the moment. I don't think there will be too many people who disagree with that, because it encapsulates cover the population as well as the fact that we have got to have, we know, wave-winning teams. Now, let's come to the presentation itself. One thing that is seriously missing from the recommendations of the eminent persons, you know, were brought, is the fact that I don't see them defining in critical terms the role of what I would call the initiative
of the previously disadvantaged people? What role are they supposed to themselves? It looks like we're placing those potential sports people in the same category as those who are supposed to receive social services like water and so on. When we say we need water, government, you have the only institution that is supposed to deliver water to us. I don't see them talking to that. And for me, that is the most critical. It covers now that competitive edge. I've grown in a village and I went to some prominent schools like Hilton and Bangor. That's where Nelson Mandela went to. That's where I see from the nest. And you know, there were spots in those. And you had to take the initiative yourself in those schools to say, I want to play. Even in the rural village, I had to take, not my parents, not my brothers, told me that, let's go play. Go come and play. I had to say to myself, I want to play. And that's why I was in Johannesburg last weekend playing table tennis on behalf of the as a member of the parliamentary team at my age, because I still love playing sport, you know. So that is one element which we need, the department needs to bring to them, say, what are you saying? What are these disadvantaged people doing themselves to show that they have got love? If you trace the cricket in the development of cricket in the what is this team, the international team, West Indies, yeah. The conditions under which those people play cricket back at home are nothing compared to what our provinces do here. Absolutely. And yet they are a very, very competitive nation. They play cricket under horrible conditions, but they love their cricket. And that's how they do it. That's why I'm coming up with this point, start off saying. So that's one thing that's missing. We would like to get their opinions. Slide 17. Take into account the injuries that women, you know, suffer. When I was president of San Ferra Football Union, you know, where a couple of years back, around about 2008 to 2010, the lady who suffered an injury, she ended up actually dying. I promise you that had a threatening effect on some of the ladies who were playing rugby back, you know, where I made sure that they got, prominent in the news, SAPC3, we drew in the president of South African Rugby Report to make sure that this received, you know, prominence, you know. And the other slide that I want to talk to, because that may have an effect. How much cover do we have for the ladies there? Slide 19. You know, what is to be done there, you know, in slide 19? What are the recommendations where they talk of point number 3, establish a strategic transformation fund, you know, to facilitate the rate of transformation. Specifically, what actions need to be funded? You know, because, maybe I should understand this in the context that it is a summary. But I wish it could have been more specific to say exactly what is to be done, you know, with this funding. And lastly, we can go back to slide number 11. Sorry for jumping around. Point number 3, incentives and punitive measures. They just say generally there should be incentives and punitive measures. Specifically, what do they think should be done? Or the department itself? They maybe the EDG do not have to carry the burden all alone. Then having received this, what does the department think should be done, you know, in that area? What sort of incentive, what punitive measures, you know? One thing, for instance, if I must cover clearly in closing, there are sort of, you know, when it comes to Springbok rugby, I love rugby, is that there should be a period where we say, forget about winning. If we're not into transformation, the nation is not going to come to a standstill just because the Springboks lost. They lost on Saturday. And therefore, nobody else to blame except themselves. Is it because there are fewer Africans in the team, or is it because there are more whites in the team that they lost on Saturday, in the miserable way in which they did? So maybe we need to go to the extent of saying, for the next 3 years, forget about winning, going to transformation, set up a new team, and let's see if transformation in a real form brings us a result. Thank you.
Honourable member. I don't think we need to do what we have just done. I don't know why are you raising your voice now, as if we are in fighting mood. When you contribute, we must try to be ourselves. Please, please, it must not happen like this.
Thanks, sir. I think the question
maybe this is my presumption, but would have thought that the actual APG would have been the one taking us through the report, you know, but be that as it may, because now we find a situation where even the DG with his acknowledged commitment, so it kind of like takes away a bit of that engagement that we would have had. But my fundamental observations with the report is that
throughout the HLTPD's report is the municipality of information from Federation
that has actually informed the actual draft. So my concern is where the interventions that were based on this skewed information then concrete enough, given that throughout the report, like from the introduction up to the end, it highlights, you know, it questions accuracy of the information, where information was supplied. In many instances, no information was supplied. Specifically with the example of athletics, you know, repeatedly, there was no data was submitted at provincial level. There was no data that was submitted with regards to demographic representation of coaches. The same sentiment carries out throughout the report. But also interestingly is to whether what informs this report is that is actually Africanization versus transformation, because that sentiment also comes out into the report. And it's not clear to me, having engaged the report, what it actually means. Because for me, transformation is about rebirth. It's about creating opportunities for individuals or groups of individuals who have previously, either through an orchestrated system or some form of design, have been isolated from participation in sports. And the issue of facilities is key here, because one, it's difficult to participate in any sport if there are no facilities. So there's that correlation between that. But also, on the issue of coaches, I mean, this comes up now. It reflects now because none of the federations actually could submit, you know, detailed information regarding the demographics of their coaches. But it also goes back to the discussion that we have had 2 weeks ago and last week with SASCOP with regard to the department and SASCOP partnership with the provision of training specifically for school board. So this issue comes running again, like clearly, I mean, SASCOP denied sort of that, you know, they haven't been uncooperative, but this again comes to the fore today, and I think we ultimately need clarity on this. But more equally, the report is silent on the welfare of female athletes. How do we encourage young girls to take up sports, not necessarily as a form of recreation, but as a career alternative? Because currently the landscape isn't attractive enough for them. You know, the options that are there, they are wide rather than sports. You know, they are under remunerated, the benefits that they have in sports are not as appealing to their male counterparts, and that's why we have this mismatch when it comes to comparison of information that comes through with gender representativity. It's not just reflected on the actual executive leadership, but at the participatory level. And so disheartening that in cricket, football and rugby, there was no information whatsoever provided to that extent as to how to invigorate that participation. Because it is all well to have a team of experts identifying, you know, the loopholes, but what would be even more groundbreaking is a sense of intervention specifically to address underrepresentativity in this code. Otherwise, what we end up having is we intervene in the status quo to either make it better, but we don't set up new avenues that will, in a way, revolutionize the whole view of sport being seen as, you know, a career alternative to one gender and then seen as a recreative choice to the other gender. And I think that, in a way, duplicates itself more on the administration part of it, because even when you scrutinize the information on the demographic breakdown, the gender breakdown, there, the differences are striking. And what I think is missing there is concrete steps of how do we address the gender inequality, how do we address the unequal access to participation that will then trickle down into actual participation. And the cricket model, you know, on face value, it's an acceptable model. But what you do at provincial level is that, you know, you create that quick fix solution for premier athletes. The bottom line becomes, what about massive grassroots participation in this premium sport? And the lack of facilities correlates directly to that. But the absence of interventions in all of this, it's also disheartening. But most also to establish what then becomes the role of the EPG going forward. Is it going to be, what are the current plans with regard to this group? I understand that under this report, there will then be like the quarterly or the annual reports that are submitted, but what becomes its role? Is it going to be on an ad hoc basis? Are there plans to reintegrate it into the department so that we've got like a functioning unit that can take this going forward? Because in as much as there is a need, it can be a once-off initiative or a temporary initiative. What is the time span of this EPG group? And also, are there any plans to reintegrate it into the broader plans of the department so that it becomes inward pushing for transformation to be implemented across the board?
But what I've noticed, Honorable Mulazo, is critiquing the document and putting suggestions. It is very helpful if we are critiquing the document, but also you put the input. I'm suspecting that when the department is here, we need to say no, yes, but what our thinking and observation and input. We need not just criticize, but we must criticize and put an alternative proposal. That's how we are going to enrich the documents when they are presenting to us. I'm just happy the way that is handling this document. With the problem of Uminister. Uminister is being invited by the committee when we meet him. UDG is an accounting officer. So I was trying to ask Kusune and the rest that they didn't invite Uminister or Deputy Minister. And if the fault is with myself as a chairperson, I need to be criticized. But what I know, Uminister is around Parliament because he's having any other commitment by the president or the minister, whatever. But UDG has been invited. The understanding was that we want somebody who's going to account. But if you call me, you think that each and every time called e-agenda has been sent long ago, we need to be advised as e-management when we need them. I don't think every now and then they must come in the committee, but if we felt necessary, we can do that. Honorable, the next person is Honorable Mutek.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for giving me the chance. Let me start by saying transformation is very, very important than anything else, because we are where we are today because we need to transform from where we come from. We can't keep on crying of apartheid if we are not serious about how to transform, how to change things. So it is very important that we have the presence of the decision makers when we discuss these things. So Minister of the DBT is supposed to be here. This is a very, very, very important issue that affects the country, not only in sport but in everything. Okay. Let me first agree with Honorable Rahom that apartheid destroyed dignity of the Africans in general, and it isolated the Africans from sports participation. So we had the duty to change that from 1994, and according to this presentation that we just had, there is an admission that the past 20 years has been fruitful there when it comes to transformation. Because it says the coaches only benefited certain groups of our nation, not the majority of the nation, which is Africa Black. So we are admitting that apartheid failed the nation, not just failed, it destroyed the nation, and the past 20 years also failed to make a radical change. So now we are starting the new 20 years. And you can go to point 3 of the 50th slide of page 8 to check on the admission and proposal. We are indeed calling for and demanding for the radical change. it should not be a slogan anymore. Our rural and disadvantaged people out there should fiscally benefit, should fiscally see and touch the benefits of democracy. They should feature in the management committees, poaching, reveling, and as players for us to win this or fight of transformation. Because if we only talk of players and our black Africans are not featuring in the management and executives, we are not going to win. Because that this makes us always to what what suits them, and we're not going to get anywhere. Page 9, slide 17.1. Here is the main stumbling block of to this transformation you're talking about. It is the main constraint that there are no facilities out there. There are no facilities. How do you expect the kids or others to play rugby, tennis, swimming, and the rest? Why there's no facility for those sporting codes? How do you expect them? The starting point is facilities, then equipment, bit by bit. We know there's no much money that can cover everything at the same time. But if you can have a program that says this year our project is in Cape, this place, we are going to build a facility there where it has never been before. Then next year we are in Limpopo, this area. Then after that, you see, we have a program. Then not for the department to come and tell us that we are going to use that facilities that has been built by apartheid, because we failed to build any during the past 20 years. So we are going to only use those that have been built by apartheid in the apartheid, former apartheid schools. So that's the only facilities that we are going to use. We're not going to build anything. We are not saying there's trillions to do everything overnight. We are saying let there be a program where we're saying the rural or disadvantaged, because it's not only rural, you must be aware. There are poor people who are not living in rural areas, but in other camps and all that. So we must also think of them. But we must have a program, actually, where we are saying facility number one, which will include all sporting codes, will be built in Limpopo's Kukune, this area. And now we move to Eastern Cape, this area. And then now Northwest and all that. Then the people will start seeing that really the nation is running its own country. Really, transformation is happening. But this thing of saying, stay where you are, we will only come and pick one of you to come and participate in former apartheid schools, facilities. It's not going to help us, and we're not going to get anywhere. That I'm telling you. Because the main question is, if we all know, it was also indicated, we all know that facilities are the main major constraint, what are we doing about it? Radically, what are we doing about it? I've already put my suggestion across, but I'm asking the minister and his department, what are they doing about it? I mean, the school for sports school focus, whatever, or special schools can carry on. It's another way of benefiting, but we cannot just stay there and say that's how we are driving. You see, they're not completely rejecting it. But at least there must be a sort of program that shows that in future, in the past, in the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, we can say this is the fruits of democracy. This is the facilities that were built by us. We can always use the formula of these things. I'm challenging the minister in his department, although they are not there. But I also having a thinking that this debate shouldn't stop today. We need to invite them, and then we talk to them directly, because you cannot talk to the administrators. At the end of the day, they are not decision makers. My challenge to the minister is that let them draw up a program. Let them draw up a program specifically with time, which will address the construction, the need for construction of facilities in rural schools and rural areas, disadvantaged areas in urban areas also must be included. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, I've been not, let me tell you that at last breakfast, because I've arrived, and then I'll give the last speaker, which is Honorable Musi, and then before the responses. But I'm still maintaining that each department do have administrative people who must come and talk to us. I'm still maintaining that administratively, even when you was in some other meetings, administrators are there, are paid to come and tell us what are they doing. I'm still thinking that they are relevant, that they are here in this committee. The only thing that we are saying is that you must take the points, and if the administrators been invited by a committee, they have got a role to report wherever. We didn't invite ministers and deputy ministers as a committee. And I've said if in future we want them to come together with their administrators, we don't have any problem with that. We'll call them and they'll join us. But according to the rules, the responsibilities of the minister, the deputy minister, and the role of the administrators, they are different. I'm still maintaining that. Honorable Musi?
Nothing is a person. No, keep it a person. I think I actually heard it a person when she said that, look, the minister is the political head of the department, and actually not administrator. That in essence, the minister must appear before the committee once a while. But that should be done per invitation. And then I think I heard the chairperson saying that in this case, that did not happen. And then I think the argument about them being here and not being here, the chairperson had to explain that. But chairperson, quickly, you know, I am one person who believes in a country that displays or shows that the demography of its nation. You know, if I go to England and see the majority of people that are playing rugby, by the way, in England, rugby is being played by, you know, predominantly white English-speaking people. And I don't see any problem if that is happening in England. But I have a problem if 20 years down the line in democracy, that is happening in South Africa, whereby only a few of the minority in the country are the ones that are predominantly playing rugby. I've got a problem with that. And I think it is a situation which the department is trying to address with either a form of radical transformation that we have a problem with. And Jefferson, I'm hearing, you know, so many stories, and I'm beginning to wonder. You know, yesterday I was listening to people in America criticizing our government, that the biggest thing that ever happened in the world
was when this government was taken over by black people in this country. And it's happened, it's been said by some people, in black people in America. And when you hear, you come to that committee and hear stories of people trying to bring in issues of service delivery into sporting issues, really, it doesn't make sense to me. I haven't spoiled this point. Otherwise, if you want to begin to relate anything, you know, to sports, then sports is related to almost everything, every department. Now, I'm saying, Jefferson, let us allow transformation that the department stipulated to take place, and let us not criticize it, Jefferson. I believe that, you know, we are a country, we are South Africa, we are a country that has something. South Africa is not like West Indies in that difficult time. South Africa have facilities, have money. Truly speaking, we cannot be comparing it to West Indies. Yes, we understand that even during, you know, the harsh years of apartheid, there were people who excelled. There were people who got distinctions, yet they were standing under candlelight. But did that thing make it right? It did not. Now we are saying, let us allow transformation, let us allow the wealth and whatever, you know, facilities of the country to be shared equitably by South Africans. And let us actually allow the democracy of the country to take place. And I thank you, Jefferson.
Honorable members, can everyone grab something for just 5 minutes in honor of the department will be responding, and if we do have follow-up, I will be allowing. Mind you, we still have other crucial presentation, but I don't want that if you do have follow-up question after the department must not do that. 5 minutes, please. Thank you.
I'm coming to you for that.
So you are going to ask how many intakes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm good.
Honorable members, I don't think we do have any extension of time that we can go until 2 o'clock, because today we're discussing a very important point of transformation. We even now doing a debate as if we're in the house instead of looking at the document. I made an example by Honorable Malaza that when he was critiquing this, he was saying maybe if we can say ABC this and that, but other members they are even becoming emotional. Let's try to avoid why human beings. I can do that now to have emotions. So let's not entertain a thing in this community. We've been doing well. Let's try to maintain, and but we must be vocal, but let's try not to do a debate in a way as if we're in the house. Let's enrich the document and put proposals and then give it department time frames. And I'm suspecting that one other thing, because I want to if like one other thing, everything is done through budget. Second thing that if facilities with 15% unique that we're putting in the province. So let's try to check what can we assist in this document, and there's no one department did apologize for this committee, which is led by old Mr. Somaguda. I don't know whether my office did invite them. There is that point that we have noticed that maybe it was going to be nice that they were supposed to be with us, but if you can reflect also on that in order that if we're feeling as good that we're not satisfied about your answers, we can call them. I'm sure it was an omission that structure like that not with us. So we'll take care of that. With those words, I'm suspecting that I want to give to each department. But honorable members, if we want a follow-up, I'm suspecting that we won't get to other items. I'm suggesting that someone was saying that this is the not once of a meeting on the this transformation and scorecard and whatever. Try to answer everything which is in front of you in order that follow-ups, maybe they must be limited. Honorable most, I will check how many members who want to do a follow-up, because I've seen smaller hands like this now as I'm still talking. So let's wait for the response. it's not you, it's not you. Mostly, to your dog.
Thank you, Chairperson. From the department side, we will respond to the issues raised. And then Mr. Joel will also respond to specific areas. But let me just start by saying, Chairperson, that we really appreciate the inputs from the honourable members. As was mentioned in the presentation, there is a process that's going to unfold now to update the transformation charter and specifically the scorecard. Following the implementation of the scorecard now after 2 years and working very closely with federations, it was realized that there are still some gaps that we need to fill. So the honourable members must know that their inputs, comments this morning will be duly considered by the task team who is going to review the charter. But to just look at some of the specific issues mentioned, Honourable Bergman, the issue of service delivery for the department is important, but because transformation is so critical and the key component and the driving factor of the department, we need to make sure that our service delivery is aimed at addressing transformation issues. So we must make sure that through what we do, we will enhance the progress in addressing all issues related to transformation. Yes, following the information received in the first round, we also realized that there are problems with regards to the coaching, the referees and the administrators when it comes to transformation, because we need to look at the whole issue in, as was mentioned earlier, in a holistic way. So with the data that is becoming available now, it enables the department to identify specific focus areas that we need to look at when we're going forward with the whole process. You also referred to the issue of the importance of the quality of data, and we fully agree with that. Yes, because your data must enable you to take informed decisions. And if you do not have great data, then it is becoming problematic. And unfortunately, Chairperson, what we have realized through the first phase of implementing the data and the scorecard is that many of the federations do not know what's going on in the federation. They do not have information regarding the position and the numbers of the clubs, the coaches, the referees, especially if it is going down to lower levels. So we would like to believe by enforcing this process and the implementation of the scorecard now, that the federations will realize that they do need to put systems in place that will enable them to report correctly on their status. Honourable Ranaphoma, we really appreciate your very nice capturing of the approach of the department. I think that is exactly what we have in mind. And once again, the results of the first round of implementation and information coming out now, that needs to guide the strategic interventions that we will need to implement to take the whole process forward. We also fully support your comment on the importance of school sport, and as you know, that is very high on the agenda of the department. Honourable Malana, we agree on the importance of the rural areas, and therefore if you look at our programs and many of our projects, the rural areas are focus areas, and Ms. Joel will give you a bit more detail on some of the enablers that we are putting in place to make sure that we also address that issue and the issue of the agenda within the EPG was also noted. Honourable Sultani, yes, the funding remains critical for implementing the transformation charter. Because many of the issues that we need to put in place do need funding. And therefore, we say from our side, we need to see how can we secure additional funding to fast-track the process of transformation. And therefore, for example, in the sports plan, we have also built in this issue to see how can we secure more funds from the private sector, not only for your high-profile sports and high profile events, like even for your mass participation events. So that is an ongoing issue that we are pursuing. And therefore, that is also why we always fight for more funding for the department, because that will enable us to do more. When it comes to the punitive measures and incentives, the results from scorecard, the transformation scorecard, will impact on the financial allocations of the department to the federations. In other words, those federations who really excel and addressing the critical issues and are making progress, they will receive financial rewards in their allocations. Whilst those that are still stubborn and do not fulfill all the criteria, they will also feel it in their pockets. Honourable Malachi, you also referred to the importance of the direct data that must result in concrete actions. And we will also see how can we assist the federations to have systems in place to get the correct data. And all the other areas that you refer to, we fully agree that they are critical for the transformation agenda, the issue of facilities, coaches, the welfare of female athletes. As far as the future of the EPG is concerned, Honourable Chair, the Minister has appointed the EPG for a period of 5 years, but Ms. McGraw will elaborate a little bit on the future operations. Honourable Muteka, I think the critical issue was the facilities referred to. We did take note of your other inputs, and maybe, Chair, the committee can consider to invite the department to come and present the facilities plan to the committee. As you know, we have started to gather some information on facilities to have a kind of a database on available facilities in the country. But once again, we will not be able to do much in that regard if we're not going to be successful in securing the 50% of the B component of the MIG funding. Because with our current budget, we can only advocate and play that role with municipalities when it comes to facilities. But if we can secure those funds, then it will change the whole approach of the department when it comes to the revision of facilities. But see, the critical issue, when we do receive those funds, the main question will then be what to build where. And that must be guided by the facilities plan. And we do have a prepared third draft of the facilities plan, and we will gladly share it with this committee if they so wish. Then, just to conclude from my side, Honourable Moody, yes, we agree that South Africa is a unique country, and I think the challenge for us, and specifically for the department when it comes to transformation issues, is to do the right thing for the people of our country. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask Mr. Paul now just to elaborate on some of the other issues, like the code responses, the data sheets, the enablers, and the EPG.
Pretty Chairperson and members of the committee, I will just make additions in the elements that have been raised. We have had 4 workshops to date post the report being released with the 5 federations that were part of the pilot. Those federations have since given a plan of action in terms of dealing with the outcomes of the report. The plan of action has also included the correct information in the federations where there was outstanding information for us to make informed decisions going forward in terms of those federations. Second element with regards to the EPG committee. The EPG committee being appointed for a period of 5 years has 3 officials that are working in the Director General's office whose responsibility is continued work on the EPG report, on the transformation charter reports, and the next phase of the study, which is now extended to 15 other sporting codes outside of the first 5 that were that formed part of the pilot. In 2012, we had an audit of the school sports facilities, capacity in terms of personnel in the form of teachers, and teachers being able to coach, to administer sport, and as well as capacity in terms of sporting facilities that are available in the schools. So in order for us to make interventions and informed interventions, that audit that we actually did in 2012 has assisted us in terms of which schools where the intervention is required the most. So our focus after that audit of the schools in terms of facilities, sport equipment and capacity was then delivery of sport equipment to those schools, and then the capacity building programs in terms of coaching and administration. With regards the enablers, I think Dr. Van Spey has already responded to that, that a key to making any change is our provision of enablers. And I think facilities question has already been responded to. But over and above the facilities program, there are four initiatives that are responsive to this EPG report, which is the school sport program. And in the school sport program, there are five elements of the school sport program, which is the facilities, the equipment, sport focus schools, sport structures, and also the development of teachers. And with regards to programs of the department, with regards to club development, I think I will be talking on the club development, and I will talk best on that pilot study and how that pilot study is responding to the EPG report. With regards to the funding model and how it responds to the requirements of the EPG, there are two frameworks that we've developed. There is a framework that is about funding the national federations and its structures, and that is referencing specific amount of money to different programs of development, of transformation, of schools that are responding to the transformation in the different areas, including inclusion of women, participation of women. So there is a new funding model that is now looking at where the funding is being provided to the federation, what is it specifically responding to, so that it's pretty clear we don't just give an open check, but we state exactly which areas federation must focus in. I think the same thing in terms of the grant framework that we give to the provinces. We've also given that grant to respond to the National Sports Recreation Plan as well as the EPG report. Thank you.
Honourable members, anyone who wants to do a follow-up, or we cannot be satisfied with the questions, but at least follow-up, I've seen Honourable Musi, Honourable Malachi. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you, Chair. No, this is not necessarily a follow-up per se, but a question that I actually have wanted to check with the department as to how ready are they on threats that are made by, you know, organizations that are threatening them to with courts, you know, as far as their radical transformation program is concerned. I just want to check their readiness, because really, if you speak of AfriForum, they will really indeed take them to court. And then I just want to check whether they are taking serious, or they will, you know, maybe be derailed from their program of transformation.
Thank you, sir. I hope that in your presentation, if I heard you well, regarding schools, you covered that question of mine about girls participating. Slide 17, very little achieved at school level for girls. If not, then you can cover, you know. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Honourable Malachi, you were supposed to be first one.
It's fine.
this is a question I forgot to answer the first time, so I think it's appropriate. But it's basically the crux of the transformation charter, because it indicates that 84% of under 18-year-olds in South Africa are black, and that is the crux of the intervention. But I think what is missing in there is, because that represents a generic group, but, you know, across in that group, what percentage of black African, South African under 18 actually take part in sport currently, and across which holds, because that would also inform the intervention view specifically per code, and that was missing in that document. Thanks.
Thank you. Another question?
Thanks, yeah. My point initially has been misunderstood by both the chief whip and Dr. van der Staaij. Can I talk about a service delivery issue? And I do talk about a service delivery issue. Transformation is necessary. We need transformation. No one in this room should disagree that transformations must take place, because then they've got to question whether they really are a South African. Transformation is not questionable, it must happen. In terms of service delivery, though, even the presence of SAFA mentioned, you get soccer schools and you get rugby schools. Now, if you take a helicopter ride around the country, you can tell which one is a soccer school and you can tell which one is a rugby school. The soccer schools are going to have no windows, no playing fields, and no transport. The rugby schools are going to have playing fields, windows, and transport. That transformation in itself has to take place. Now, I can understand the chief of point in terms of money, you know, that it's not an endless pit of money. What I'm saying is that the joint effort between education and sports, education focusing on the mass participation, bringing people into sports, and sports focusing on the coaching, we have to move away from this quota, this fear-mongering into the quota in terms of this and that. It must happen naturally, but you get transformation right, it would happen. You know, we sit in a situation now where the charter was signed in 2011. It's now 2014. All we're saying, from a point of view of the personal point of view, is it's enough walk. It's enough talk. We must walk now. And in this instance, we're going to go into pilot two, stage two. We already know the issues. We're going on our oversight visits. My focus on these focus schools. I want to see, in terms of equipment, that never mind equipment. You can't just like give rugby balls to a school that doesn't have fields. We've got to start with the basics. We've got to go back to basics. We've got to ensure that there are playing fields. We've got to ensure that there is good culture. We've got to ensure that people understand what it is to have rugby. But please, it must never be misunderstood that I'm not for transformation. I'm 100% for transformation. It must happen. It mustn't just be planned. It must happen.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, absolutely. Transformation is 100%, if not 110%. Mine is just a comment. And for me, transformation, Afrikaans word, is so etched. Rechtstelling, it's correcting what the past has done to us as Africans in the past. So if we can do the rechtstelling, and then we will get it right. I just want to comment also on the facilities. We can have the best facilities in the country, but if we don't have a mindset change, we won't win. Some of us want to change, but in us, it's just there, we can't change. And we might say we want to change, we might have all the brains wanting to change, but if you start with you in, that you must actually change. So I just want to comment and say that wherever there are facilities, for instance, in the schools, that everything is working, the rugby schools, the cricket schools, like Honorable Bergman is saying, if you take a helicopter ride, you go to a school like Waterkloof, which is predominantly a rugby school, and you see what is there, and what has happened, and why it's happening. We need to use examples like that, and not say it's apartheid that has done to us, but say, how can we learn that it's right, take the right from apartheid, and use it. Everything in apartheid wasn't wrong, and maybe people will crucify me for saying that, but it's true. Let us take the good practices, let us take what has made people achieve in apartheid, and why did it work, why, and look at it. If it was wrong, then let's not use it. What was wrong in apartheid was apartheid. The word apartheid was prepared. The equality that didn't take place, all that. But let us use and let us have a mentorship that we always talk about and saying that how can we transform? We can only transform if we learn from the best, if we learn what has happened and not try and recreate. Not try and condemn everything that is right and want to fix it. Then I also want to say let's...
Honourable members, Honourable Malika has to leave us. She has got a social problem at home. She's rushing for a flight.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yeah, so I'm making sure like very enough to many of us because I'm also part of Basic Never to Place as much as a colored person in South Africa. Many facilities and things that weren't just opportunities for us. So then also I want to say is that the creation in our communities is development and that must take place at the primary level and not when it comes to the secondary level, it's already too late. But let us not just talk, and let us live it. I believe that everything we want to do, transformation starts with you, the person, to change South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Abrams. I'm suspecting that if you want to respond or you want to take these additional questions, others a comment, I mean you more. Do you want to respond?
Okay, I'll just respond to one or two issues raised are really comments I think that we took note of. If you allow me, just on the question about the readiness of the department to deal with the threats, nothing is going to derail us from the approach that we're following now, and we will deal with these threats as they come. But we are not going to turn around because of threats. The issue on the goals in schools, I'm going to ask Ms. Ndor just to respond on that. And the question on the statistics with regards to the 84%, that 84% are figures that statistics that we do have from available statistics. Now, if the question is how many of them are participating in sport, I think we have to be honest at this point in time, we do not know. We do have figures, following a research that was done by BMI a couple of years ago, that we believe that those statistics are not reliable anymore. So that is why through this whole process of the transformation charter and the scorecard, that will hopefully enable us to provide the committee then also with updated figures when it comes to participation numbers. I think the rest were just comments, and thank you also for clarifying the issue on the service delivery. Thank you, Deputy.
Thank you, Chairperson. Out of the 16 priority codes that we have, all of them are including girl participation. And in the programs that we run in school sport, is making sure that girl participation in terms of age groups, in terms of participation and enablers, is provided, including teacher training, in terms of coaching, female coaches, in all of the different sporting codes that we have. So I want to emphasize the fact that in the codes that were chosen, they were chosen specifically to make sure that there is inclusion of boys and learners with disabilities, so that any of those codes that become priority are not only biased maybe toward boys, but that are inclusive. Thanks.
In that note, let's go to the second point. My table here, they are not happy about the time. They've stated that the time for point one, point two, point three, they are complaining that we are behind time. But please bear with us. You know, it's transformation that we can take the whole day. The next presentation, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. The next presentation is on the performance of information of the department during the second quarter. And Chair, what I will do is that I will really just run through it, and if there are any specific questions, I think then we can go into more detail. This report summarizes the performance information of the department during the second quarter. And Chair, I think if we look at it holistically at the end, it may project not a very good picture. If we look at the number of achievements against those targets that were not received. But I will try to put it in perspective, just to say to the committee, although it doesn't look too good, at the end of the second quarter, there are specific reasons, and we are not too concerned that we will be able to turn it around and to correct those issues. Another factor that impacts on the status as it is at the moment is Chairperson, that in the past we had also a category when we evaluate and monitor the progress of implementing the targets that we called partially achieved. In other words, say, for example, we had to train 200 people and only 180 were trained, then we would say, not okay, it is partially achieved. But we did away with that last year. And if the target was 200 and they have trained 199, we indicated as not achieved. And that forces the units really to make sure that they cannot go halfway. They must meet the targets 100%. The other issue is also many of the targets that we've indicated here as not achieved, we know that it actually did take place, but there's no evidence to back up that information. So we have also indicated that as not achieved. So, and I think all these stricter measures that we've put in place has really enabled the department also to get a clean audit last year for the first time when it comes to performance information. So if I can go through it just very briefly, if we look at program one, there was one target that they didn't achieve, and that was specifically on the training of departmental officials. The target was 50 for quarter two, and only 13 were trained. Once again, we are aware of others that were trained, but we didn't receive by the time of the report the evidence. So they're busy correcting it at the moment, but as far as we're concerned, it was still not achieved. Chair, maybe what I must also just say to the committee is that when we look at the indicators in the ATP, we need to realize that this is at a higher level. When we submitted our annual performance plan and the strategic plan to the Presidency and National Treasury last year, they did indicate that there's quite a few of our targets that should really go to the operational plan because it is operational issues. So you will find that we have reduced the number of indicators in the annual performance plan, whilst many of the other targets went to the operational plans. But during our quarterly status review meetings, we do also look at progress in achieving all the targets, also those included in the operational plans of the different units. Now, if we look at Program 1, the Chief Financial Officer, the Office of the CFO, they have met all their targets, all the necessary reports were submitted to Treasury internal audit. They have also achieved all their targets. The strategic risk were refined for mitigation. The fraud intervention plan has been drafted. Also, and the IT, the existing SLA, CETA were implemented and monitored. The office recommendation, they met their target relating to the 30 days turnaround time for payment. When it comes to HR, that is the target that was not achieved that I referred to with regards to the training of employees. But we're pretty sure that we will turn that to green in the follow-up reports. In the sub-program strategic and executive support, they have also achieved all their targets. The annual report was tabled through Parliament, and the presentation was done to the Portfolio Committee. The first drafts of the 2015-20 strategic plan and the 15-16 annual performance plan both were presented to Treasury and the Presidency as requested. We also facilitated a session with Botswana South Africa to prepare their strategic plan for the next 5 years, and then, as you know, Chair, we also participated in your strategic planning session that took place. If we go to Program 2, there were four targets for the specific quarter, of which two were met and two were not achieved. If we look at the two that were achieved, first of all, there was the number of sport and recreation promotion campaigns and events. The target was two. That was achieved. And then the second one was the number of participants in the campaigns and the events with the target of 150, and that was also met and exceeded. Now, the two didn't that were not met in program two was the number of schools that received equipment. That is a procurement issue that we in the process of finalizing, and that will then make sure that in the third quarter we will also be able to report positive on that issue. As far as the National School Sports Championships are concerned for next month, just to say that everything is on track at the moment, and we would like to believe that it will be a very successful event. When it comes to the sport focus schools, there are 16 focus schools that we have verified, and these schools have accepted to be part of the program, although they must still sign the MOU with our department. Two schools have signed and submitted their MOUs, and we're busy following it up with the other schools. When it comes to program three, there were that of Winning Nation, there were six targets, of which two were achieved and four not achieved. If we look at those not achieved, first of all, the one is the athletes and the coaches assisted by means of scientific support programs. The target there was 40 and 31 athletes were supported. We do have a problem, and we maybe will need to ask officially for to revise this target, because as you know, Chair, that the department agreed not to continue with this specific indicator, and the people who have concluded or fall out of the program, they will not be replaced. So we will always be behind with that target. So that is why we will look at asking for an official revision of the number of athletes supported. Then the athletes supported through the Ministerial Sports Bursary Program, that was also not fully achieved. But we are also comfortable and that we will correct those issues that are still outstanding with the relevant program. In the knowledge management system, that was the other one not achieved. We had two targets for quarter two. The one was Sasricom, and as you know, that did take place. Sorry, I'm running behind here. There we are. SARS recall did take place in the third quarter, so we will report on that in the third quarter. And the other target was that of the publication of the Think Sports Journal in the second quarter. Now, only three of the authors that we have identified and requested to make contribution did provide their contributions on time within the deadline, but the others we had to follow up, and the indication now is that we will publish this Think Sport journal in December, so during the third quarter, so that will be corrected then in the third quarter. The other one that was not achieved is the support to the drug-free support agencies. The target there was five, and we only supported one, but this support is on a need basis. So if we receive requests from these different agencies, then we follow up on it and we make sure that we comply to their requests. But we will also look at it, how can we deal with it in the third and the fourth quarter to meet this target by following up from our side. Then when it comes to major events, there we have met both the targets. And the first one was a major international event receiving intra-governmental support. We do mention there in the presentation all the events that we did support. And then the other indicator was on the exhibitions and conferences. And there we very successfully hosted ICAIA at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. So that was also then met. When we come to program four, sport support, there were three indicators of which two were met, one not met. The indicator that was not met was the financial support to the sport and recreation bodies, mainly because of the required documentation that was not in place. There were specific an effort to follow up on these issues to make sure that we get all the required documents, and I know that all those documents have been received now, and in the third quarter there will be a major improvement on this number, because the majority of the payments will take place now in the third quarter. Then the basketball league was also very successfully launched and were the finals that took place on the 6th of September. When it comes to bilateral exchanges, there we have also met both the targets for that for the quarter, with the bilateral and the multilateral engagements that were successfully finalized, and the details of these engagements are reported in the presentation. Then, Chair, if we come to the last program, Program 5, there were two targets. One was met and one was not achieved. The one that was not achieved was the provinces with completed facility audits. Now, the target for this quarter, for the second quarter, was 2, and we didn't receive the 2. Cumulative, we do have 2 reports that were submitted in the first quarter, named that of Free State and Western Cape. KZN also did send a report on their data, but only for certain districts. And we did forward the data that we received from the provinces to the Secretariat. And this will also be addressed at the meeting with the heads of the Department of the Provinces and the Director General early in December. So we would like to believe that we will also then see progress in that regard. The target that was met was the one on sport and recreation facilities assisted with technical support during construction, and we do have the details reflected there in the report. So, Chairperson, if we look at the overall performance of the department for the second quarter, there were 16 targets, of which 7 were met and 9 not achieved. But as I've indicated in my introduction, that many of the targets not achieved are work in progress. And if you also look at the way that we operate now, that the majority of our major projects are taking place in the third quarter. So I would like to believe that in the third quarter report, you will see quite a dramatic change in this figure. I think, Chair, what will also happen is that this figure in the final report will also look slightly different. Once we have received the verification of the data, then some of those red areas can turn green. And then in conclusion, as a department, we just really want to state our appreciation and the support and the leadership provided by the parliamentary structures that as the portfolio committee towards our achievements. We have a clean audit to maintain, and we will endeavour to make sure that we have a clean audit again. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Doctor. Let me take 3.3 in order that 3.2 and 3.3 we must discuss together, and then 3.4 alone. Welcome back, Lizzie. We appreciate that when you finish that meeting, to come back to us. Thank you. Progress regarding the filling of vacant posts, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and the Honourable Chair, I will be taking on the presentation on progress on the vacant posts at November 2014 in the department. I would like to bring the attention of the members that within the department we have an approved additional structure of 290, including the municipal office bearers. And currently, there are 49 vacant positions, which constitute the vacancy rate of 23.44%. The report on the filling of posts as to date is as follows. A number of vacancies have been advertised both within the department, also on the website of the department, as well as within the media print. And during September 2014, as a department, they have embarked on the robust recruitment drive, which resulted in the following. On the 1st of November 2014, 15 new employees have assumed duty within the department. One new employee will assume duty Monday on the 17th of November. And on the 1st of December 2014, we are expecting 3 new employees that will assume their duty within the department. The current rate of the 23.44% that we have alluded to in the previous one is broken as follows. The 13.4 of posts were advertised during October 2014, of which the closing date will be the 17th of November 2014. And you can find it was on the media print, also on the website as we've indicated. If you go into our website, you will see the details of all those positions that we have advertised there. And the remaining 10.4 of consists of posts where the recruitment process has already been embarked upon, and some of the processes being finalized to fill this position. And in closing, SRSA, that is Sport and Creation, would like to assure the honorable member that we take consent of the high unemployment rate within the country, and as a department, we are therefore committed to narrow this gap by expediting and improving our recruitment processes. And in those that we should maybe note that the recruitment cycle, I mean, sometimes it is a cycle, where once you're filling this other vacancy, the other opening, it crops up, because other organizations, they feel that they can, like what did you normally say in our farewell functions, maybe for our staff members, that the other department, they see that it's, they always like to push from our department. I think they see a value in our employees. And I think as Dr. Spandefei has alluded also in his presentation on the quarterly status, where he has talked about the clean audit, I think it is also another thing that has made this department to see a need to push from our department. So, but we are promising the honorable members and the committee that even though if that will happen, we will try to expedite the process of closing the gap in our recruitment. That's how the presentation of the progress on filling of vacancies is, and we have also submitted to the Secretariat this spreadsheet, which indicates all the positions that are vacant and the ones that are filled and some that are still in progress. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we take also 3.4, because brief to the point, you take an advantage of taking the last presentation in order that we must discuss both of them.
Thank you very much, and the honorable members. I will be working on the sports club system pilot, which we all have copies of. And the establishment of this pilot club system comes from a lot of anecdotal information that has come from stakeholders and from within the sporting fraternity in the Indaba, that clubs are not developed and are not sustained and are not supported through government structures, and therefore there must be a process where clubs are actually provided with the support in order for them to have a good standing for them to be supported. And also that is an audit that needs to take place in order to understand the amount of clubs that are in existence and how those clubs are actually affiliating to the different sporting codes that are played in order to provide for the participants in those clubs to have a pathway of going forward. Recognizing all of the anecdotal information that came up out from stakeholders with regards to club development, Sport and Creation South Africa then took up a club system that seeks to integrate and sustain mechanism of developing clubs and making sure that those clubs are actually meeting the minimum requirements of actually being a club for them to be taken forward by the different national federations, for them to be in their systems, and even by government, for them to be provided with support. To date, from last year, we started the pilot of this club system in two provinces. We took one urban club in KwaZulu-Natal, in Durban, which is part of the pilot study, and we took the second one in Limpopo, in Mopane district, which is a rural pilot. The focus of this pilot study is looking at netball, football, athletics. The process that was started in terms of this process was looking at all the national federations and all of the three national federations that are involved in making sure that they are involved in the process. As we know, clubs are part and a local part and structure of national federations. So it was key that the national federations must buy into the process, they must buy into the pilot, and be part to the pilot. And so those national federation structures at local level were part of this. Government stakeholders were also involved. And government stakeholders would support at a local level, both municipalities and a provincial department would provide the support in the national federation. The outcome of the stakeholder process that we had was that there would be an agreement, that national federations would be part of the provincial stakeholders, and they would also have commitment in identifying any potential resources or contribution, such as mentoring, in terms of the clubs that have been identified. Consultative sessions were held with all of the stakeholders, as I mentioned earlier, that would be relevant and that would be key in supporting any club, from municipalities that would provide facilities, that would provide also programs to provincial sports confederations or sports councils, where the clubs eventually would be affiliated and they would form part of those umbrella structures, to identify the provincial federations. As I said, there's only three that we look at in the study. And then in terms of the pillars of this program, an audit of clubs to establish a number of clubs nationally per province, district and municipality, municipal ward levels, per sport, and their status in terms of membership as well as governance would be key. A toolkit would be provided in order for those clubs that go through the process are provided with a toolkit of developing those clubs and putting them to meet the standard that is required. The grading framework, which forms part of the toolkit, would be established in order to classify the clubs, so that when clubs have gone through the process, then we would know at what level the club is at, and at the same time what support is required for the clubs to be taken through. And in terms of the process of the club system, an audit of clubs questionnaire was put together, where data would be gathered, and a questionnaire was formulated, and it was distributed to the provincial departments as well as to the offices of the federations. Questionnaire was completed by the clubs and returned to the provincial departments via the district and provincial federation. And then provincial department consolidated the information and sent to Sport and Recreation South Africa. And within that audit and within that process, we have been able to say, out of the different three sporting codes that we're looking at, we are now looking at in Limpopo netball clubs, the five netball clubs, football clubs is 10, athletics clubs is 10, which gives us 25 clubs that we're looking at in Limpopo. And in KwaZulu-Natal, Ethekwini municipality, it's the netball club, there are 57, football clubs are 414, athletics clubs are 100 clubs. Some of the lessons that have come in the process of this is that almost 98 of the clubs do not have a banking details, and clubs are run from contributions by individuals, therefore they are not formalized in terms of the structure. They are also not constitutions for some of the clubs, and where they exist, they are not fully furnished constitutional documentation. Clubs could not differentiate between the constitutions and club profiles. So as and when they were providing the information, they would give the profile of the club and to actually provide the details of the constitution, which actually would tell us exactly how the club is run, how the club is governed, and the regulations of the club. Most of all clubs do not have access to facilities as well as storage for sporting equipment that they have, so they're reliant on either the boot of the car or the houses that they would normally keep this. Most of the club officials do not have the necessary skills for them to be running the club. So imagine clearly some of the skills development is the area of management, of coaching and financial management. Most of the clubs could not affiliate to relevant structures due to financial challenges. So as a result, they would fall out of the mainstream of a sport, as much as they exist, as much as they participate, but as long as they're not affiliated to any of the federation, then they are outside of the mainstream of the sport. The toolkit and the grading process, the minimum requirements of the toolkit were formulated in the different provinces. So after consultations with the stakeholders, it emerged that toolkits actually exist and are mostly with service providers. So it was recommended that provincial departments must procure the toolkits so that the codes, the identified clubs that are within the pilot, actually have the toolkits that will provide support in terms of the clubs to be developed, to put them and to meet the minimum requirements. The process, the provinces are in the process of implementing the training of the toolkits for the clubs identified to the audit, and the toolkit, the club grading is part of the toolkit, and four categories of clubs at entry level clubs, intermediary clubs, advanced clubs, excellence clubs, which obviously in the toolkit document it clearly states exactly what level and what are the standards in each of those levels. Provincial departments of sports, local sports clubs and local associations are to grade the clubs based on the audit outcomes. The franchise agreement that Sporting Recreation formulated, it was done and formulated through our legal services, and the agreement of the club franchise defines the terms of engagement between the franchisee, which is the club administrator, and the franchisor, which is the provincial department. So you will see that the franchisee, being the club that's being developed or that needs support, reliant on the provincial department of sports. So that is the agreement. So that's the terms of what will be provided, what will be given, what support will be provided is pretty clear on the agreement. And agreements were sent to the provincial department. So as much as we are doing this only in two departments, and when we developed the different toolkits, the different programs, they were sent across all other provinces. So everybody else is aware of the toolkit, the programs, and the approach that is being used in terms of developing the different plans. Considering that some of the elements of the pilot are real things being implemented, for us to give a summary of saying what the outcomes are is not yet at the time. But we actually would come back and would provide the outcomes of the pilot that we have in the two provinces. The following key programs are being implemented. The conclusion of the agreement between KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo provinces with the clubs is now concluded to all the audited clubs. The procurement of the training provider for the toolkit provided is also being finalized. The facilitation of club affiliation to federations is also being in the process. Facilitating the club registration with the NPOs is also being facilitated, because the NPOs that actually run sport in the different localities and the different provinces. So we've to date gone and confirmed that those things have happened. Establishing a proper database of clubs to enable more in-depth analysis of club audited, that is in the process. And grading of clubs on the basis of the audit results. And monitoring of this process and by form of visits by officials in the department is happening in the two pilot studies, where we monitor the progress and we meet with the clubs that are involved and with the provincial departments that are responsible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, I would like to add an important part to what my colleague has said. I think the picture she has presented is a truth, but there's another truth to this picture, Chair, which she's not saying. You see, Chair, the truth of the matter is that she's not outlining the major challenges with this program. I think we must accept that we have a huge challenge of club development in our country. We are to start from there, from that acknowledgement that the reason why we opted to do a pilot study was in full realization that we had a crisis in respect of clubs. And for 18 years, Chair, we have invested millions of rand into clubs through progresses and often directly. And today, 20 years later, we really have not much to show for those meals. We buy equipment for the clubs. Many of the clubs, either the equipment is given to the owner, the club is an unregistered club, doesn't register anywhere, it's a random collection of individuals who are there. And our response to the government for 18 years has been to treat all clubs the same, one size fits them all. Give them equipment, identify a space where they can play, a ground or whatever, and then that's it. That's our club development support. But that's what it has been all along. And after the interview, with the acknowledgement that we honestly don't have clubs in the country. And obviously, Orlando Pirates is called a club. It's a football club. But Orlando Perez and Magurung Sri are not the same thing, and they can't be treated the same. And the type of support Orlando Perez or Black Lotus would want from us is not the same as what the startup is. And do you give a club that was started yesterday and children in a block were called together to a ground, and there's a teacher who says, well, or a priest who's saying, I'll make something, I'll work with the children. Do you give them money? Where'd go as we start? So we realized that we needed a differentiated approach and a different strategy, and we needed to treat clubs and grade them accordingly to what they are. A startup needs to be helped with registration. A startup needs to be helped with writing a constitution, in constituting itself properly, electing a proper leadership, accountability, governance structures to be put in place. And a startup also wants you to help them register the children they are working with. They must keep records. The parents of those children must sign up to this and sign the forms. They must keep, these days all children have ID numbers. They must keep the ID numbers of the children to prove that indeed they are supporting citizens. All of this for a significant amount of period. And then you give them equipment. And then you know that the devolution of equipment is to a legal entity and not to a private citizen, you know, who can say this is mine now, and decides that when he has fought with another colleague, he locks up the, he shall see where they will play, because this equipment was given to me, and then he locks it away, and children can't play, you know, all of this. And also with municipalities, there is a difficulty of analyzing roosters about who plays where when, and they are all dealing with non-legal entities, and they simply can't enter into long-term agreement with these non-legal entities about usage of facilities and on what basis. So we had to really start from scratch, from the bare basics. We had to work with UK Sports to write up a club development manual to say the how-to, an idiot's guide of sorts on how to run a club and where to start, you know, and what are the basics and the do's and don'ts. And we had to go further, share to say how do we grade the clubs so that the system is the same right across the country. And it took us some time to do the grading and classification framework. We asked that we look at a pilot study to look at a new area. And the reason we chose this franchise model, this model is used quite successfully in New Zealand, and it's also used very, very well in Canada, in the United Kingdom, also in Australia. They use this model quite very, very well. But the franchise model there in those countries differs significantly with what we're attempting to do, on the basis that the codes or the federations are the actual franchisors, the franchisor. So they own the franchises and they sell them to NGOs. And the parents of these children pay to participate. Mm. It is because they are in a developed country. In our country, if we were to take that approach, then children in rural areas will not be able to play. So the difference with that is that, yeah, the state is trying to be a franchise, a franchisor. It owns all the franchises to the coast and gives the money to the NGOs that will run all of that. And the reason we are using the NGOs and not the sport federations, in all fairness, very, very few of them have the necessary footprint right across the country or capacity to run clubs. In fact, even the bigger ones, we think that they're very strong, like Agbi, Saru. They don't really run clubs. They say, no, that's the duty of provincial unions, and the provincial unions must also run, and it's a self-regulated system. Nobody checks anybody. So simply, if there is a rugby club somewhere, it's not by the making of serve. It is by the love of the people to gather themselves as a thing and form a rugby club. But then you see that the system is exactly flawed, and which brings the issue I brought here the last time of geopolitical boundaries and how sport is regulated in the country, which we need to break that backbone, because if we don't, then even those clubs where people have formed themselves, they love the sport and so on, they can never grow, because there's this one big giant called the Golden Lions, and it has the entire area of Johannesburg and every other thing. So even if you are another rugby club in Johannesburg, you can't really be recognized, and you can never even play into the playoffs of promotion or relegations. You can't enter any league because you aren't recognized. You are not part of the Golden Lions, you know. So that monopoly must be broken, the backbone to save the club development of the country. But in this approach, Chair, it is a good theory, I must say.
It is a good series. Do our two provinces running this pilot in capable, really, and do they have the capacity to run the role as franchisors? Honestly, we doubt. Etequini Sport Department in KwaZulu-Natal spends the best chance. But registering clubs, like you see here, they say they have 100 athletic clubs. Registering a club is one thing. But sustaining that club and getting it to play regularly, getting it to have a coach and all of that is a totally different ballgame. And so right now we are in the process of auditing. We are auditing them now. We gave them the concept. We said this is how we want it to be implemented. So let's see how it goes. And our staff have only now begun with monitoring visits to go to these two areas, Etequini and Mopani, to see how on the real ground it happens. And so if we say there are 100 clubs, we must know at what grade, how many of the 100 are intermediary, how many are starters, how many are what we can say they are the best shining example of the so-called excellent clubs. We have to look at all of that and say, where are they and what type of support have they received and so on. So we have said over the period that the rest of the other 11 provinces, unfortunately, they will have to go on with what they've been doing for the last 20 years, which is unfortunate. But we are keeping them in the loop about what we are doing with the two others. Because we want to tell this thing, can it really work? Our projections, Dr. Van der Spey, who worked with the CFO and other people on a committee that costed the sports plan, we said that in each year, we would need about a 9 million rand to run the club development program. Honestly, if you ask me how much we have now of the 89 we need, we have about 12 million of the 89. So let's not complain. No. And this 12 is shared by all the 9 provinces at run clubs. So the money is just enough really to buy a kit here, there, and all this, that. But in essence, there is no money for club development in our country. And at least, let's not lament. Let's prove one model that can be effective for our country. And that's what this pilot seeks to do for us. If we can test that model and we know we have a working model, then we have even a stronger case to Treasury to say, fund this thing. This thing can really work for us. But I feel that going to the Treasury and asking for more money, when we really have no working system, because if we are given more money to do just the same we have done in the last 18 years, then it isn't so useful. And I think this is the other truth to what Onge says. We have put a lot of theory, a lot of machinery in place, a lot of focus on piloting this new system, but there are challenges of constraints of capacity and resources to deliver this. But these are some of the essential lessons that will come from a pilot. As I have indicated, it's a longitudinal pilot, because for you to know that it works, the startup that has been started yesterday must survive at least for 6 months before you can say, let's promote it to the next level where now we must help them with bookkeeping and we must train them on how to fundraise. They must be able to write a proposal to a local business to ask for sponsorship. We must transport them with transport money so they can start competing in local competitions and all of this. All that requires time. So it's not like we're simply going to do it over 1 year and then we are done. We have to have a long-term view because the first plan is a 20-year plan. We have said that the pilot study will be a 5-year pilot study. We have to look at it from that basis and see. Each year, we will obviously evaluate it and see how well is it going or how difficult it is. But at the end of the 5 years, we have to write a full report and do a full, total audit of what has happened and to know whether we are right or not. Unfortunately, it's too risky that I would say, let's take all the money we have and invest in this monster. We don't know what it looks like. I think that's how we are trying to be prudent, by looking at one rural node and one urban node and to see it. Because even already the imaging results that we see from the initial monitoring period is that you see in Limpopo, in Mopani, only few clubs, 25. They've got equal share of money. But trust me, the issue is that they are in rural areas. There are too many barriers to participation. First, the children have to walk longer to get to come to work together to a club. The issue of competing is a bit more challenging. The issue of capacity in the rural area is a problem. Facilities where these children can play is a big of a challenge. But in Etequini, you can see in athletics, they overnight they register 100 clubs. But we'll have to see how many of those clubs will survive. Will survive the first 6 months, will survive this long, and will go on and become to the last year excellence and so on. So it's a long project thing, and I think the commission sees from that longitudinal approach. Thanks.
All of the good members, I'm not yet
awesome.
Welcome, honorable. Welcome. Honorable members, we have got about 3 presentations. Now, even myself, I'm keen to that I must contribute in the last one. But let's say that. 3 presentations as presented. When you raise your hand, I'll be giving you the allowance of say what has been noted, in order that you must not say you're addressing that. Don't listen any question. You know what did this clarification of this sport club system pilot? I'm from 11 schools as from Friday until yesterday. I've seen that even those kids that I was distributing, they are nothing in the conditions that they were there. Even those kids were going to kept by SGBs. And if SGB maybe is not in or the principal, I don't know what is going to happen. And the applause that are formed by individual people. And I'm worried the pilot, which is very important, that it will be taking a long time. But at this present moment, as these new committee members, we're wondering what can we assist as individual members on the clubs that are on our rural areas, that they don't have kids, they don't have grounds. And these 2 pilots is good for budgeting of the committee, of the department. Now I'm pleading that can each member who's here involved in the sport in his or her constituency take this information? Because we are the national leaders, and these things are not happening even from the provinces, that we must taking official that will be going to our district areas to look at this and try to copy this information, try to assist the department, irrespective of e-province, because e-province, they do their oversight role. They don't call us when they're doing. And when we're doing oversight, I won't let this thing go alone and wait until the province X, it must be put in the program of department. It's my vision that let's assist and by at least trying to check that these clubs are formed correctly. One other time which you were saying that there are no clubs, local clubs, but we'll be getting a district something to not to province and to national, but there were no clubs registered from local. How did they come to be in a district? So I'm suspecting that as this committee maybe will need another day to call to take us ready to want to assist when we are coming with your pilot system in our own province. Members will be already started, and then because we are belonging to the regions and districts, and any province will meet them halfway. We can't fold arms as we're having available information like that. That's my contribution. Any hands? Oh, we can call him up like that. Tate Mutege, Matatie. That was Matatie, no? Huh? Ah, yeah, my own guys. Timbis on a boom, bang, bang. And Tate Malata. Dr. Fridan, Wood Bergman, Sismana, Mamulom, Sister Abrahams, Brother Musi, the veteran.
All the members of the group want to contribute. Number one,
Thank you, Chair. Let us start with the first one, the first presentation. There's not much you can say except that the department failed in their conclusion, said that out of 16, only 9 done. So there's not much to say that. We just have to tell them that if I'm saying there's not much to talk on the except to tell them, and that out of 16 they only like 9. And coming to the next one, which is that vacancy program to fulfill the vacancies. We are happy to see there's deadline there, the 17th of November this year. That means beyond this date, we're not going to have the very same vacancies coming through in the report. So we wish that it can happen, because really, unemployment is very high. A lot of people are looking for work outside there, and can't, as government or as departments, have vacancies for a long time. So let's make sure that on the 70th, all is good, or beyond that. The last one, which is more interesting, club systems. I think the HQ1, because we're talking of resources, lack of resources here. HQ1, why do you take cover many clubs up to 400, like football clubs, up to 440, if we have less resources? Something that maybe we can share with another province somewhere, so that we can at least have 2 rural. Let's say, for example, this is Limpopo. Then we go to Eastern Cape, and then we take another region. We say Krizani or whatever, the one that may be more rural. And then we take another one from Eben. And then we have 4. Dealing with 2 rural and 2 urbans. Unlike putting more resources on one city, which is Eteguini. I'm not saying that does not cover Eteguini. I'm saying we cover a lot of clubs. Because a lot of clubs means more resources. And maybe you can take us the same numbers like we have in Mobani. And then we put them Eteguini like that. We share, like, and then we cover these 4. Because I'm sure you have already said, this project will take long to bear fruits. And if it's going to take long, it means we are going to focus on 2 provinces and only 2 regions for a long time. So I think if we can at least try to split the little we have, so that at least 4 provinces can benefit out of the system. And I think we are in the right direction as a committee crack, but let us see the tangible things in the rural areas and in urban, where there's never been anything. Our most cry is about where there's never been anything, let there be something. See. So I think this at the green also is covered in those areas. Because it's not only rural. There are urban areas where the poor communities without any activity or any facilities and all that. So the challenge now will be for the committee to keep on doing oversight in these areas, so that we can see if there is progress. You don't have to wait for the department to come and report and all that. We must also go and see what are they doing there, if there is progress. Then we help where we can. And again, we must also take responsibilities as
honorable members here, that wherever you come from, don't wait for Minister Fikile to come and buy a kit for the soccer club and all that. He can advise them and show them how to apply and all that. But also, you digging out on your own pocket. Because at the end of the day, you are a representative of the public. And then they must see you doing something. Then when you apply for the resources, at least when we get there, they will say, Honorable Fulsami has done for us this, but he can't do any more, any further. Minister, please help. You see? So that we don't only cry, we can also do something. Thank you very much.
So we just sort of positioned with them, Mr. Taisa, because if you would allow us, because preparing something to...
Chairperson, mine is very short. First, let me apologize for coming late. That's from Basic Education Committee meeting. I heard you talking of millions that have been given to clubs. And I'm very much worried because I've been running a football club at the level of council level. Then I've never seen this money, but I just want to check how these monies were given to these people because I've never heard anything. You know, as basic and truth, you know, it's more than 200,000 running this club, apart from my pocket and my children. So I haven't seen anything. So I want to check now how these monies were given and how these monies were monitored or even been given. Because I didn't even get anything about that. My second question is, what is the role of the local municipality in helping these local clubs? Because when you go to the municipality, they say there is a department for sports, stress for sports and everything, but now, when you go to these local municipalities, because I understand, this is one of the city of government, as we are not now, but now we are not getting enough assistance from these local municipalities. So what is it that is supposed to be done by the local municipalities in order to assist the local clubs? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to get to the point that Honourable Muteka briefly made, but it was with regards to the sentiments that Dr. Savaspe made regarding information that's on record in black and white and outstanding information that could then change the impact of the status of what's happening here. Because it presents a bit of a difficult situation where we interrogate what's on record, but there's information that has changed the status but it's not reflected in the paper simply because by the time they were prepared, you know, in between that gap, that information wasn't there. So that interrogation can be skewed because we can interrogate stuff that's on record, but when that information is provided, not on record, you know, it's about what's presented here and, you know, often oral missions don't carry the same weight as written, you know, submissions, and that can become an issue with consistency. The other point is with regard to the sports focus schools. I noticed that only two schools have signed up the memorandum of understanding in terms of reporting. So I just want to establish, I mean, we already have learners in some of these schools and providing support, but you know, the memorandums haven't been finalized, and what's the actual stumbling block with regard to the finalization of those memorandums of understanding? The other question was with regards to the club pilot project. How do you reconcile that with your focus on transformation, particularly with regards to the three sporting codes that were chosen? You know, because from where I'm standing, it probably would have given more emphasis if it was focused on those sports codes where there's been minimal, if no, progress with regards to transformation. How do we then reconcile that with the priorities? Because I see, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of those three codes, but you know, the omission of cricket and rugby in the raises eyebrows with regards to our actual progress on transformation. So how do we reconcile that with the broader objective of driving transformation? And yeah, that will be all, Shepherd.
Thank you, Honorable
Thank you, Chair. Mine is not a question, it's just a comment. Instead of putting that in, finish off my presentation to the House this afternoon. Mine, DG, through you, Chair, it's going to be quite an odd remark I'm going to make. It may shock you. My take is that government is simply doing too much for people who should actually be competing for the services. And that is why you made a valid point when you said you spent so much in the last 2 years, but there isn't much, anything to show for it. Sport is by definition something that you volunteer into. It's unlike water, which you absolutely need. And sport is competitive. Give the clubs an opportunity to lift their hands, to show you that they qualify. I wanted my school in my locality to have filed an application, submit an application for the lotto. But guess what? Their books were toxicated. There was a big case between the SGB and the community and the principal. They just didn't meet that basic requirement. That's long before your department gets involved. They just cannot fulfill the other basic requirements. And I'm sure that's the case in so many locations here. During apartheid times, we had fixers. We took money out of our pockets and we played Francis Dalela and his Costa inside. Coffee. Simple. And we got so much reflection on Saturdays and Sundays playing local league. Not worried about going to play in Queenstown. Now there's a fancy, now there's fancy things that they are fixing. You go to Eastern and go to Queenstown, and then clubs start blaming government to say, you didn't give us money, sir. You didn't give us money for the sport. How do you expect us to food? Who'll fix us? It's our own fixers. So my take is to concentrate on policy, which will include transformation and infrastructure. That's all. Otherwise, you're striving yourselves, the department, too thinly with these multitudes of programs. You're just spreading yourself too thinly and you're getting no return for it. At the end of the year, there are very few people who say, thank you for you did this and that one. That's why I said it's going to be radical. You know, take it seriously, think about it. Unfortunately, it comes from an opposition bench, so I know it will be taken granularly, but it's from someone who has played sports. Thank you.
Honorable Fulton, since we started in this committee, we don't have an opposition or ruling, but we're contributing as members of the committee, and I won't allow anyone, when I'm speaking, since I'm speaking because I'm a ruling, but your valid point now, we are watering it. Because I don't know what's wrong with you today, since in the morning. This is your first time that you are telling us that we are opposition. We are not even aware that. Please, try to be the person whom we know. Okay.
Thanks. Shane, my family is feeling intimidated and victimized. I'm sorry for I think we need to, you know, I think SRSA were far more complimentary on their own quarterly report than we must be. Given the explanations by the good doctor, I'm not questioning it. It's understandable. But, you know, in an environment like sports, as my colleague has said, it's a very competitive environment, and a win is a win, and coming second is not winning. So if you say you're going to be there in 10 seconds and you're there in 9 seconds and you put it there as a non-achievable, it is a non-achievable. It's not that you guys were being gracious. Unfortunately, it is just a non-achievable. But where I do agree with the good doctor is that we need some fairness to the KPIs. You know, that maybe the, and I've said before, our measurements are wrong. Things like in stage. If agencies don't come to stage for the assistance, How do you measure saves on that? You know, how do we say that the Sports and Recreation Committee is wrong or that they don't achieve? What we need to look at is how we then measure that type of key performance indicator. And I've said that before, and we're now going into the third quarter, and we're still going to have the very same problem, because there's already now two or three highlights and indicators that are not going to be achieved because of it. So, you know, it's always going to look unnecessarily bad. In terms of the club pilot project, I understand why it can only be two areas. I do understand that, and I understand that if we want to do it properly, we must make a real blueprint before we start creating it elsewhere, because we do run a risk of duplicating mistakes and then having the program run backwards. However, I would suggest that we take the top 10 clubs, what we believe are top 10 clubs outside of those two pilot areas, specifically outside those areas, so they're not included in your patch. We study what worked there, what was right. We create almost a forward blueprint from that, and then we take 10 of the worst clubs that have tried to make themselves competitive. They've approached you, they've asked you for help, or that you're aware of them because you believe that there's police investigations that need to be done, whatever the case may be, that come onto the radar screen in SRSA, because for some whatever reason SRSA has seen them as poorly managed or net extinct clubs, and put those as a matter of urgency onto the radar of SRSA in the very same pilot project. In that way, maybe, without having to duplicate four or five areas, maybe we can still get some areas from you know, areas that need assistance into that specific area.
Thank you, Honourable.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, I'm going to tap the issue of the municipalities. I can just touch some of those things. Because the municipality, I think they take the NIC, the 15%, and allocate it to themselves for the mayoral cup and the intergovernmental games, not assisting the community. Then on the indigenous games, Chairperson, I just want to ask the department how far is the process of the establishing of the Indigenous Games Federation, and which are those provinces that have established the provincial structure, and has the SASCOC registered these as a new federation. So on the vacancies, Chairperson, I think I'm maybe covered, but I wanted to know for the 10 post interviews concluded waiting just for the approval, when was the closing date, and the 5 post for the selection committee appointed selection processes to commence as well since they applied. And on the infrastructure support, Chairperson, I think our sister department has just they must just push the provinces, because if maybe they did not give them the feedback, and if this will cause those challenges, they are having a challenge whereby they did not submit anything on the audit for the on the quarter two, which supposed maybe to give us to finish the in to give us the information, how did they go and all those things, but. Anyway, because the answer is there that they're going to submit on the quarter three. Chairperson, through you, I think we are here as a committee. As we have already mentioned that we are not here any party. Our government has got a sports policy. We are all living under that sports policy, whosoever living in this country. And I will request you, Chairperson, to ask the members that we don't have to be too emotional when we address some of the issues. Because the more we become emotionally while we're sitting here, we'll become emotionally too. While we are here too, we are working hands on, we're not here maybe to I don't know how can I say. We are here to assist each other. We are not here. I always say that if we are called, maybe our sister department or our institute here, we are here to assist each other. We are not here to debate. We are here to assist each other to close the gap. That is why when we say we call the start plan, we ask all members to go and attend to the start plan so that when we come here on the table, we reveal some of the things, especially when we talk about money. How are we going to implement if we don't want to support each other? We're sitting here. This is not a debate. We are here to assist each other. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Honorable Manan. Honorable Mamkam. Yeah, thank you, Chair. As regards to the number of vacancies that we have, it worries me because our finance minister talked about not allowing any more vacancies coming up. Now, my worry is, are we not losing out on that? Have we shortlisted on those so that at least by the time it does worry me, 73 vacancies are still existing and time is running out. We might lose, covering or taking on those kind of vacancies. And coming on to the sports clubs that are being pilots, I'm glad that I come from there. It would be nice to know just which clubs are those so that when I go around, I can actually be able to, on the ground, see if, assist in finding out where things are actually happening and where. And since it is around Italy, I would have thought, though, that instead of saying Italy could have been the whole of KZA, because most of the people that are really struggling, and they love, say, football, for instance, and in the rural area, then they would have been very good at being fire trade as well, so that it is not around the city where most of the things really happen.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I want to second Mama Gomo and say that I'd love my area also to be piloted. I don't know what happened to the 9 athletes of the 40 that was assisted scientifically last year, 2013. And also, I have an advisory and monitoring service in set up with the talent identification system. And what's the status of establishing the National Hall of Fame and the cost implications of it. Then on the recruitment, the vacancy rate, is there a vacancy rate for people with a disability? If yes, what seems to be the problem of identifying such people? There are so many people that is unemployed and disabled. Then also, how many volunteers from the National Sports Volunteer Corps program has been placed in different development programs in the provinces? And how many are yet to be placed? Then the sports buses, maybe it's been delivered to provinces, and which provinces have been benefited so far? And on the rural sport improvement program, have it been rolled out in this financial year? Which areas have been benefited, and what are the planned programs in this regard? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Abrams. Honorable Musi.
Thank you, Chairperson. On program 2, Chairperson, my question is, what is the status of the database that the department intended to gather regarding unemployment of sport graduates? How many of these have been awarded opportunities to study through departmental bursaries? How many have been placed in jobs readiness? My second question is, what is the status of provincial with regard to conducting an audit of clubs in order to implement club development budget? Okay, sir. How much has Sports in South Africa been funded so far, and what are the steps being taken to address the dire governance structure of boxing? How have you assisted states to address its financial challenges? Remember what the AG said, that they are poor. certain vacancies with regard to what Honorable Abrahams said. What percentage do you have of people living with disability in your staff, DG? And to tell again as to whether he I've not seen advertisement, but when you place advertisement, do you place them to write in such a way that they perhaps would even attract people living with disability? I'm just asking your terms. But lastly, I've checked on sports focus schools, and then I've almost seen all the provinces except of one, DG, Northern Cape. Talk about it. And thank you, sir.
Thank you,
sir. Just three small issues there. Regarding the second quarter performance, well, we'll have to see, because you are assuring us that you will meet the target in the third quarter. Maybe it has got much to do with the way we targeted, the way we scored, but we just have to see the third quarter. The second issue is related to performance. It's around the feeling of vacancies. And I thought that at one point we got an explanation around organogram not being approved, and I see we are not repeating it now. Is that enough sorted out in terms of the approval of the organogram? Because I thought I got that from myself. The second area, third area rather, which I don't want us to teach and use it with different organizations. There is this issue that I want us to sort out so that we get the training of teachers by CAFITA and the FACO. Because sometimes it's excessive, the department is telling us something and the FACO is telling us a different thing. What is the story exactly there? So that we are not caught maybe on the club, I support your approach in terms of doing a pilot. But I think we must still put pressure on federations, because I don't understand why they can want to gain champions of certain codes, but not ensure that they must put pressure on club to comply. Because at one point I thought the federation should be responsible for actual development of clubs. But maybe the pilot will give us a blueprint, you know, to can sort out the club development, because without club development, even if we can be strong in terms of school squad, as soon as they're out of school, what happens if we don't have a strong club development? Thank you.
Thank you, Excellent. In this thing of vacancies, do you have any measures that you can avoid that once you finish interviews and employ a number, maybe let's say 49, and then down the line 20 resigned, and you continue to have vacancies which are not filled? I don't think that this thing can be avoided, but do you think that you can have in measures of avoiding that? And when we are giving us a report, we need to get that. When you came to us, maybe you said you have got 79, now 49, and then you are about to finalize. But I'm asking on behalf of this committee, if by the day that you are finishing to fill those vacancies and resigned, what are we going to do as a committee? We're still saying that we are not fulfilling the vacancies. So I'm saying that let's have that in mind if we were in the department as these members. And then maybe, do we think that Econ in measures that we can put to the department that they might avoid that? Thank you. DJ or whoever who want to start.
Yes.
And the time now is 12:56 and 2 o'clock you have learned in plenary and in this parliament we are no longer given lunch. If you have just a breakfast, it's enough. So try everybody to be brief to the point and in order that if there are still follow-ups, I don't want not to do a follow-up if we want, because we want that everything it must be clarified in the committee room.
So I'm going to answer in short sentences, and I hope everybody understands. The vacancies...
I will answer.
The vacancies, Chair, we always have the problem raising. That is why DPSA considers that a 5% vacancy rate is full employment, because there's always permanent recruitment going forward. Even now, as we have advertised the last post, you know, as you can tell that there's already resignations of about 3 staff members who are leaving. So only now that we are advertising quicker and recruiting faster than the attrition rate. So we will still have, even beyond this, a few other pools that have just recently become vacant. And it's not also a threat science. I'll give you an example of one post of Director Finance. With that post, we advertised it, interviews were undertaken, but we have a draft HR plan which is not yet approved by DPSA. And HR gave a wrong advice to the panel to say that they must implement a plan when it's not yet approved, the draft plan. And so they then, on the basis of that, said that because that new HR plan we're putting emphasizes issues of disability as well as issues of women, and to designate certain posts as such. So they then advised them to say that there were 3 candidates which were shortlisted, which were interviewed, and they were found to be appointable, 3 of them. But in order of preference, it was 2 men, 1 and 2, and number 3 was caught as a woman. They then decided that they were going to send the woman, and they will remove number 2 and take the woman to number 2 from number 3, and they sent both of them to assessments for competencies, and they took those 2 there. And when they came back, when the recommendation came before me, FDG to now appoint now this woman who passed the competencies, I realized that there's going to be a lawsuit, because at least I have a legal background, and I could realize that there's immediately going to be a lawsuit here. When candidate number 2 realizes that he has been taken out of the process when potentially could have been the person who is appointable and who was found to be appointable but was on the basis of gender ruled out, when that is not yet policy, it's in the draft policy, we have approved it internally, but the law says that there must be concurrence with DPSA, and DPSA has not yet given our minister that concurrence. So in essence, it is not yet policy. So on the basis of that, the process has come to a standstill now, because I have to refer it back to the panel. They must either send that guy to the competency assessment, and if he does pass, then I must offer him the post. And if he doesn't pass, then yes, I can continue to offer this other one the post. Or alternatively, I must restart the process from scratch so that there is no question of legitimate expectation on the candidate who wrongly was sent to go and do the assessment and pass them. You know, so on that basis, I'm weighing the 2 of the critical things, and I'm still waiting for legal advice just to have a second opinion on. But we think that to be prudent, we must re-advertise the process. The process must start from scratch once more. So that's something, it's not always a correct stance. You may run the process full scale to the end, and one niche stops everything in its tracks. And then in order to avoid the bigger challenges, you have to address that. Next is the issue of funds for clubs. I must say that we buy equipment for clubs. I think provinces, that's what they do. They buy lots and lots of equipment. When I said millions have been spent, in essence, I mean that millions have been spent on buying equipment that is given to the clubs and communities. There are many reports that our club development unit has been assessing and looking at that, which forced us into this pilot. On the issue of the role of municipalities, I have to indicate immediately that the municipalities have a concurrent function together with us and provinces. And in terms of the constitution, if you look very close, we are responsible for programming, meaning that facilities, provision, as well as running programs on those facilities is their responsibility. After all, we, sports and recreation, are responsible for police. But when we see so many letters from councillors as well as mayors asking us, as RSA, to buy sports equipment for local clubs, then you see that we have a problem with the understanding and so on. In truth, majority of the municipalities don't buy the first point, and let alone facilities, even for programs, they don't buy that at all, and I think that's what is the problem. The other key thing which Honorable Mutega is of the work we do in rural areas, and which ties up very well with what Honorable Abrams raises about the Rural Sport Improvement Program, is that I think we must request Onke to give you the list of all the areas we have done work in the Rural Sport Improvement. Because we work with the AMACOSI here, and we give AMACOSI equipment and everything and some little money. Over holidays, they run rural tournaments, and they do that work to make sure that there is promotion of sport. This is largely community sport driven work. And as it comes to the issue of why we give so much money to Etekwini and so many clubs, Honorable Mutega, honestly, the issue of the law, the equitable share formula, how we divide it, we can say we will take money dedicated for Devon and we will spend it somewhere else. Then I will be in hot water with the treasury and this committee. It will not be a nice meeting when I come before you, when treasury tells you that this is what I have done. I've taken money from there to there. We have already cross-subsidized the poorer provinces with the system we forced treasury to agree in, and I had briefed the committee at the last meeting what we have done. On the issue of the sport focus schools, honestly, the major stumbling blocks, Honorable Malati, is the fact that the SGPs must have the resolutions. That's the first part. And then when the resolution has been signed, we now have to move to the stage of an MOU. Some schools have, I know that they have passed partial resolutions already. A majority of them we are working with have resolutions in place, but have not yet ratified the MOU, which they would need to do. I had at a last before one appearance I came here, indicated the tediousness of getting this resolution done, and also the fact that some other schools are refusing to take up the offer on the basis that they know what it means. They will have to open football and any other homes and other things that they may seem that they cannot like and that they are unpalatable to them. So the hurdles are many in the system, but it is the only way in which we can guarantee on a long-term basis that the investment is correct and is going to the right hands. On the issue of why are we clubs versus transformation and where is the alignment, why are we leaving out rugby and cricket? I have to indicate that that is an important point we can look at, but we move not from a premise of transformation, but we move from a premise of saying, let's start where we are most strongest. And we looked at the coach which in any of these areas they will be present and prevalent, so we can compare like with like from that point of view. And I think that was why the choice of football, netball and athletics was because they are commonly played in all rural as well as in urban areas. And so that was the rationale for the comparison. In absentia, Honorable Dani asked that perhaps people are doing too well, government is doing too much for the people and we shouldn't be subsidizing and either strategic or focus. Perhaps. But in this country, if sport and recreation doesn't play the role it is playing, there'll be very little sport happening. If we were to then say strictly municipalities must do what they are supposed to do, and we do what we are supposed to do, and that is, there'll be very little spot that is being driven from that point of view. And I think that perhaps we are spreading ourselves too thin. It is true, the resources are not that much, but considering that many municipalities don't budget for sport, and even here I came, I regret here that 6 of the 9 provinces of sports are not budgeted for sport programs. So that goes to show that if we were to then all of a sudden retreat to exactly what Honorable Filtane say we must do, policy only. Sport will die, it will collapse significantly. Honorable Bachmann, we take your point about the indicators, and I think it's something we are now in the process of working towards the next APP. So it's time to review the indicators, and I think we'll clean out what the dependencies, so to say. But you know, all the time, I know that Dr. van der Spee had recommended to me to say, let's remove all the KPAs where we are dependent on other people. But I know the danger of that. It will make me look very good, honestly, because I won't have to worry about what Sarkom does or doesn't look. But trust me, if we don't pay attention to that and we put it on record so that it forces us to force them to do certain things, then we will not be able to push any other thing in the sports plan. So I think it's a double-edged sword, you know, and I had chosen to take the Sarah edge, you know, and now I can see it's gelatin in me, but I do understand the importance of why we have to look at them from that point of view. The issue of the study of the 10 clubs, we welcome the suggestion. In fact, I think it's something that we must immediately look into, workshop and take the best lesson out of the two. While we do this pilot on a longitudinal basis, at least the rest of the other 7 provinces can do the best of what we have. And I think we must welcome with both hands the suggestion that has been given. It's a brilliant idea. Honorable Marana, we agree with you. There's mayor's cups and all sorts of things, and the MIG is not used for what it's supposed to, and we insist that it be done. You know, the committee knows our position on this issue. On the Indigenous Games Federation, Dr. van der Spee will respond to this. He's working on that, and we will be able to answer how many of the things are there. And when it comes to the issue of the possibility, Honorable Dom, of losing the vacancies, we're not going to lose them. I think we must be forthright. Firstly, we don't agree with the Treasury on this trend. It will compromise service delivery in a big way, but that's their call, they can make the call. But their cut-off line would be next year, February. By then, we would have had full employment. There would be no issues. We would have filled all the vacancies. So that's no doubt about it. And the list of clubs in Achequini has already been submitted to the Secretariat. It can be shared with you. And then you will also help us a great deal in also seeing how many of those clubs are still there, or no, how many are not, but we are monitoring that. Honorable Abrams, the 9 athletes, this program, we are facing it out. It's called the Residence Program in Scientific Support. We are facing it out. Last year when we reported, we were supporting 40, but if you can recall very well, these are the last of the whole system, athletes in the pipeline. We have just decided that we're not going to abandon them. We will take them through the system and finish. But there has not been any new intakes for the last 2 years. So we are now, however, focusing on improving the sport focus schools. And the funds we're investing now in this program are being redirected to supporting the sport focus schools. So we still have 3 months to phase them, all of them completely out. And we hope all of them pass. You know, so there's no those who lag behind. All of them must go. On the issue of the Hall of Fame, this, we have done the scoping exercise and have agreed that we must change the approach. We have spoken with Arts and Culture. We have agreed that essentially this, we must position it within the current legal framework, and that legal framework provides for the museums. So it will be declared a museum, and therefore it will be a public entity of Arts and Culture. But it will be a museum for sport. And we have already done preliminary work about what must go. The actual Hall of Fame, and with all the resources required, we envisage that should the MIG grant come to us, as we have envisaged, and we build the first regional sport hub, which will be the regional sport hub of Swan. That will be the first prioritized one. It will have offices for federations, sports house. It will also have offices for SRSA, but it will also have sporting fields and so on, plus the building of this specific museum. So we do not envisage that this museum will be fully fleshed now. We envisage that it will be perhaps in the next 8 to 10 years, depending on how quick we get the MIG grant. But in the meantime, we're negotiating with Arts and Culture that at the Dison Museum of Natural History in Pretoria, the West Wing, which is largely dilapidated, that be renovated, and that a current sort of sport museum be housed there. So these are the current negotiations and plans. Minister has said that he wants something concrete by December next year, and has assigned the deputy minister to work on this. So We are therefore frustrating our efforts on this. I know Dr. Van der Spee has met with the private sector people who have a sort of a hall of fame, and we are discussing with them along how we can collaborate. The issue of disability recruitment, we always have met. We are one of the few departments that have met the 2% target set by DPSA. But with the resignation of two of our disabled people, we have slipped backwards. So we hope that in the current recruitment phase, we will go back to where we were. But again, you will also note in this regard that our adverts are very, very clear. We do encourage people with disability to really apply and that they are given preference where it's possible. On the issue of the National Volunteer Hub and their deployment, none have been deployed yet. They still, all of them have got to go through training. They all have got to go through security screening as well as training. The security screening is to ensure that we don't end up with pedophiles which we deploy to schools and dangerous people with children, you know, and so on. So, and that is not in our hands. NIA is taking forever, and they have told us straight. I met with their DG, she told me straight that this is not a priority. In the bigger scheme of things that they are looking at, this is not a priority. And she was saying that they have limited capacity. So we have a long wait in as far as getting that hurdle through. But it is not better to wait than the danger of yes, what will happen. Yeah. Okay. Spot versus tender, we issued it, Honorable Abrams, and we issued it four times. And on all four occasions, we got zero responses. This is one of the amazing things because normally people ask for government tenders. But on the third occasion we had it, we had about 14 companies to the briefing session. But by the closing date, when we opened the tender box, it was empty. None of the 14, because it's not a, it's issue of customizing the buses. It's not an easy thing. And majority of the companies that are big, which we have also called to encourage them to put in, like BASF and all of that, they've all said to us that they don't want to do government tenders. If we do it, we must pay them the money in advance. And so there's no way for such a big tender that the Treasury is ever going to agree with me that we do that. So we have once again reissued a tender. I think this time I've been briefed that after the opening of the tender box, there were four companies in. So we cross our fingers that one of them will meet requirements and will qualify. So we hope that we have delayed the projects now for 1 year, 8 months. So we are hoping that we will finally get the buses after all. On the issue of the box in South Africa, Honorable Musi, look, we have already given them the annual grant, all of it, they have it. And two, we have already assisted them with some form of work that they needed to do. You asked us what governance we supported them on. They have now finalized the regulations for committee and governance structures. We appointed E&S, the biggest law firm in South Africa, to work on this because of the multifaceted nature of the work. We paid on behalf of Boxing. And they now have received the documentation. Their board must approve the regulations and rules, even for administering the sport itself. Then we have also gone further to help them with their audit, and we have also gone further. We paid for their audit fees with the AG, and we are also supporting them now with the inquiry into the death of a boxer in a boxing ring. So we are paying for all of that together with the state attorney's office. So there is a whole host of what we're doing with boxing. And as you know, we have sent an administrator there to help stabilize boxing. And ever since he has arrived, honestly, in all fairness, there is stability at boxing. And we have now suspended the CEO. Last time I was here, I said I would not announce until it is done. We have now suspended the CFO as well, you know. So there are three of them, the CEO, the acting CEO, and the CFO, are all now be charged. And the CFO is truly being charged on the basis of the outcome of the audit of the Auditor General, and clearly on dereliction of duty, you know, and clearly on issues of where funds and generalization of entities can be accounted for. So we have to act. There's no way we can't. And so and we are happy that the current board is eager to do what is right and is actually doing what needs to be done. I think they need to be supported. We are discussing with them now the issues of funding, but we have decided not to only discuss with them, but to also discuss with the laboratory in Bloemfontein We hosted the WADA conference here in 2013, and that code is being implemented from January 2015. Now, in terms of that code, there are three new tests which they're going to have capability of doing, and this is the only accredited laboratory on the African continent based at the University of the Free State. And so they need about 6 million rand to buy the new equipment to test oxygenation in the body and to also do blood testing, which were not compulsory in the previous code, but now they are. So we have forced them that they must show us their transformation plan, and they must also show us their sustainability plan in exchange for us investing the 6 million for the equipment for them. And so they are now working on all of that together with SAIDS. So we are treating them as a package, because one can't work without the other. Otherwise, SAIDS is going to have challenges. And I think the part of the laboratory is what is always ignored in the bigger picture. But we are helping them with their financial situation. On the issue of why Northern Cape has no sport focus schools, purely there's no federations, there's no thing. Even the schools available, we have quite many of them, like Kimberley Boys High and all of this. We are trying our best. We are dangling man even in front of them to say, please take the bait. But there's slow progress of SGDs, and there's slow progress. Most principals say we want to do it, we are in. But it is not the call of the principal in terms of the law. The SGB is the one that must have that resolution, and many SGBs can't cope with what we are asking. So we're doing our best to get the schools in. On Honorable Ralokuma, the issue of the filling of vacancies, our organogram is not yet approved. But we have a gentleman's lady agreement with DPSA that, to the extent of the post we are caring about, let's not fill those. But to the extent of the ones that we agree, allow us to continue filling them. So they're agreed on that approach. And even to circumvent the situation, particularly with the character of NIA, we have introduced a new clause into the contracts of the new civil servants. I'm actually saying to them that your employment is subject to you passing the security clearance. If you don't, I have to terminate it, because then I'm going to wait longer. If I have to wait for security clearance, we'll fill the vacancies as fast as we should. But the law requires me to employ people who pass security clearance. So I'm appointing them, saying with a condition that says, should you fail the security clearance, I then punish you. I terminate the contract. But two, I also reserve the right to recover the money from you, which I've already paid you. You know, that's that clause. Take it or leave it. If you don't want to employ them, then don't take it. But it should discourage people who know that they have criminal records and they have this to take advantage of us and then to go ahead. Obviously, I'll understand. If you don't pass the security clearance because your wife is a crook and is suspected to be a drug dealer with someone, and state security gives me that information in privilege, I read it and I know why you are not passed. And you potentially perhaps could not have known. Then I can be lenient and not recover from you, but I still have to terminate. But where I realized that you knew, for instance, you can't tell me that you don't know that you went to jail. You know, I mean, really. If that is the case, then I must recover the money from you, because that's information you should have disclosed at the time of applying and why you have not passed. So that's the route we are taking. And so it's still not approved. We have disputes with them. Nozi was still reminding me this morning about the fight over the chief director communications and them wanting to dictate how we should structure the organogram. So I think we still have our fight about it. It's not just approved, but we are feeling the vacancies. On the issue of the story about CAPCT and SASCOC and the training of teachers, honestly, that's again, Dr. Van der Stey gave me a look just to reconfirm what the sports plan says. The sports plan says that the responsibility of training of coaches, all of it is SASCOC. And he negotiated a deal on their behalf. We went out of our way. We went to negotiate with CAPCT to say, please allocate money to SASCOC, let SASCOC train. At first, SASCOC said that we wanted to compete on the award with them. But we said, no, we are not interested in the money. You take it, CAPCT must give you the money, but you train the teachers. Last time I was here, I reported that at the rate we are going and the number of teachers we are training, we will not make the grade. And right now, SASCOC has not seen it as a priority to train the teachers. It has seen it as its priority to train its own officials and other people. But I know that Simpiwe and the woman in the SASCOC, what is it? Desiree. They are now working on a framework for training of teachers.
Cuckoos have staff been 300, isn't it, now? More or less 300 now, who are going to be the fastest trailblazers of teachers being trained. Yes, there has been training of coaches, but these coaches have been administrators from Federation. So you can see SASCOC has been looking at itself, and inward and internal, whereas they are supposed to drive the whole program into the school sports, because the training framework is their own training framework, the coaching framework, so they have to use that. And we also help them. When CAPITA had challenges with accrediting the whole framework, we have to force the CAPITA to invest even more money to make sure that some of the modules are customized so that they can respond. So, honestly, we entered this way because we wanted the process to move. We could easily fold up our arms and said it's the responsibility of SACOC to see to finish with the CAPITA. But that doesn't help us because it challenges the question of school sport. It means that it will not move unless we have trained teachers and so on. So I think that's the story, Chair, and we are now, however, I must say, we are cooperating now. After 2 years of fighting over this thing and the academic system, in a space of 3 months, we have made so much tremendous progress that we even ourselves are encouraged. And lastly, on the issue of club development, Chair, I just have to say that I agree, I think it's the wrong way, but we can't be all over. We have to be focused. And see how it works. But I think what Honorable Darkman has suggested gives us another window we can look into, because in terms of our plan, we were to wait 5 years before we look at the other 7 provinces. But we now can do something. We now can look at the best and look at best practice and perhaps advise the 7 provinces on what they could be doing to improve the situation in the meantime. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorables, for these questions, and I'm suspecting that it was a long day that we deserve to have this information, and I'm suspecting that some of us, we cannot say that we have failed out of 16, that we have achieved 9. It's a progress. And we are saying that keep it up, and if it comes that much, give you a time frame, let's do that. But we can't discourage you saying that we have failed. You didn't fail as South Africans. Instead, we are saying do it more. Because if we are discouraging you, we'll see us as people that what do we want? Rome was not built in a day. Times 26 minutes past 1, I'm suspecting that DG and your team, especially to you DG, that you started here and you've been called in another meeting, and you did come back to us. We do appreciate that. That you know that as leaders, all of us, others, they can leave this committee to do another work, and like you, we are having a work like our good selves. When we were not around, we were thinking that they were supposed to be with you, but I'm suspecting the committee will give us the right to invite them to come and share the work that we have given them as a department. You did say everything, they felt that which they were supposed to be with us. Another thing that it was raised out your way is the absence of minister and deputy minister. We've tried to explain that we have invited you in the administrative issues. Ministers are policy making. So if we mispresented you, being politicians, we know when a minister is needed in the committee, and even if we wanted them to be around, no one did advise the management and the chairperson to call them, but they were not supposed to be here. That's their response. I don't want that people go and interpret wrongly. We had to make us understand, all of us, that they can't just come every now in the committee, but if the committee one other day in a presentation which is administrative, they want us to invite them, we'll do so.
And I'm suspecting or respect the committee that if one is busy, another one must come. By those words, the meeting again, except that there's an outstanding things as administration from Osune and Ononeva, that they are still waiting for the names of members who want to go to the Nelson Mandela